Mark Carmen, Adam Hogue.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
This is The Beat.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. This is The Beat. Adam Hogan, Mark Carmen here with you on a nice Saturday in Chicago.
Yeah.
Here till 7 o'clock. We got a lot to talk about.
Huge day where we can all just bond together for the next 4 hours or 4 minutes or 4 seconds. Whatever you have to give us, we appreciate it. But we'll be here until 7 o'clock talking so much. And we're also going to talk to a horse today. For real. I am going full. Did you know, Adam Hogue, that today is the 141st running of the Preakness?
Yes, I did know that.
Did you know that you can actually talk to the horse?
Well, we did 2 weeks ago. Maybe we should give Nyquist a call again today.
Well, and we could do that.
I think we should.
But I think we should go in an unconventional way, because you can talk to him on Twitter at the Nyquist horse. He has his own Twitter account.
Okay.
So we're going to take suggestions at 312-981-7200. What should we tweet at the horse? Because I think it's important. What are we, about 2.5 hours away from post time here?
Yep.
You know, this is an opportunity for a horse to get to a triple crown, go back-to-back triple crowns. Everybody loves history. I think we can maybe influence the race right here by getting at the Nyquist horse on Twitter. What do you think?
Getting, like, in his head, like trolling him?
Well, maybe he's just a little bit nervous. There's rain going on. There's, you know, there's a lot of things that are in front of Nyquist right now, and it's hard to stay present. Hard to actually focus on the moment.
And I don't mean to make light of a situation, but like, two horses have already died today at the Preakness.
Oh, that's a
Could you imagine? Could you imagine in any other sport like where you had to, you know, you're thinking all day. My post time's at 5:45, and you see two other athletes die before your race even starts?
Yeah, they would cancel the race.
Like, that would get in your head a little bit, I would think.
Right, but not Nyquist. 3 hours ago, he just tweeted, "Got to put my hoof pad away now. Time to focus and listen to a little music for inspiration. Hashtag Eye of the Tiger. Hashtag Nyquist." And there's a picture of him in his stall.
Okay, so is this like a real Twitter account run by his handlers, or is this like a fake thing that's just out there?
I mean, it says the official count for the Kentucky Derby Eclipse Champion, 2-year-old Nyquist, owned by Redham Racing and trained by Doug O'Neill, now 3 on the Triple Crown Trail. And there's a picture of him, and he's got 5,039 followers. Make that 5,040, as I just officially followed at the Nyquist horse. I'm in.
Okay. I think we should give Nyquist a call, though, downtown Danny Long. We talked to him before the race 2 weeks ago. You accused him of being too confident, and he showed you by dominating the Kentucky Derby from start to finish.
He did. The Stanley Cup playoffs tweeted at Nyquist, "Good luck to at the Nyquist horse at the Preakness today." I mean, the Stanley Cup playoffs, I mean, this is the NHL. Stanley Cup playoffs has 4,760,000 followers. They're tweeting at the Nyquist horse. I mean, that's how
I like that.
I mean, this is
and you thing. And you want to go negative. You want to try to troll him, get in his head before the race.
No, I want to help.
You just want to impact the odds.
I got my pick, which I'll release a little bit later.
Really?
Yes, I have a. Should I do it now? Do you want me to do it now? Do you want me to do it later?
We'll save it for later.
Okay, but
I've been trying to figure out too who I'm gonna wrap in some of these.
Can you wrap in a wager for me? Do you have that ability? Because I don't have any of these fancy accounts that all these fancy people have.
Yeah.
You could do that?
I don't have enough money in my account to cover for you.
No, that's a problem. So I gotta sign
because
up and log on?
The thing about horse racing is you don't get involved if you want to try to win money. It's usually how it goes.
I'm winning huge today.
Including the Derby when I actually hit the exacta
and lost
money.
And lost dough.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. We do have a serious issue to talk about, and we should have breaking news at some point during the day today around another Cubs outfielder that is playing extremely aggressive. There's a word. And I have thoughts about – I had the same thoughts about Kyle Schwarber, but the Cubs are still awaiting word on the MRI on Jason Hayward. What was your reaction last night when Jason Hayward made an unbelievable catch?
My reaction
in
was
– in the first inning
– great play.
Of a nothing-nothing game – 420 feet away, and then he rolls over, he grabs his right hip, He looks like, I mean, the ball pops out of the glove. He looks like he's, like his career is over, or at least his season's over.
Yeah, it was scary right away. I mean, and it still could be bad, but it didn't, at least it looks like right now that it might not be as bad as it initially looked in the moment when he's laying there. There's a huddle around him, a lot like Kyle Schwarber last month. It did not look good. But why don't you just say what you're going to say?
Well,
this is just a really bad take. Let's preface this with that, and I can't wait to hear it. So go ahead.
Okay. I really don't think it's a bad take at all. I think it's actually a very informed and rational and sort of hard to follow take as far as when you're actually on the field. But listen, when Kyle Schwarber went crashing into Dexter Fowler, he was running 7 million miles an hour across the outfield, and he's out for the season. If he had let up on that on the baseball and the Arizona Diamondbacks had had a double, Cubs lived to play another day. Jason Hayward, a little bit different, more experienced, veteran outfielder, great outfielder, gold glove outfielder, but it's the beginning of the game, and he's a drop out of control. And listen, my whole point is that if this was game 162 or 158 and you absolutely had to have a win, then okay, dive all you want. But when you're in a 162-game season and you're the best team in baseball, I don't think you need to be taking unnecessary risks. Like, the biggest risk to the Cubs right now is them getting hurt. And I understand that you got to go out there and pitch, and there's inherent.
So you're saying you don't want the players diving after the ball.
Just like Bryce Harper last weekend when we played the Nationals, or when the Cubs played the Nationals, and he got close to the wall and he let up. That's what, yes, the season is just too long. There's so many games, so many plays, that I don't see the upside of going 115 miles an hour or 115%.
So you're asking them to change the way they play the game instinctively.
Yes, I'm asking.
And then I'm sure when the playoffs come around, you're going to ask them to ramp it up again.
Right.
That is just not you play. If you're an athlete, you just play the way a certain, at that level especially, that's what's gotten you to that level, because you've had to go all out in single A, in double A, in triple A, to the major leagues, going back to your high school career, in college. That's how you got to the major leagues.
There's different.
So you're asking them then to get here, and just because it's April and May, and it's the first inning, it's the second inning, not to go hard after a ball. And let me tell you the downside of this, because you're not just talking about two plays. You're not just talking about the play that Kyle Schwarber got hurt on. You're not just talking about the play that Jason Hayward got hurt on. You're talking about, if they're going to play that way, you're going to be giving up doubles a lot more frequently on plays that otherwise could be catches. And this is going to happen throughout the season. And right now on the other side of town, we're talking about how much better that outfield is because of the ground that Austin Jackson and Adam Eaton are covering out there. They're taking away doubles and turning them into outs in key situations of games, and that is helping, well, at least it was helping the White Sox before they went in the slump.
Let me give you a perfect example. What did you think of Ryan Sandberg as a baseball player and his effort and his professionalism and how he went about his business?
I liked it.
Okay. Ryan Sandberg never dove. Like, literally never.
Okay, but he wasn't playing center field.
But he was playing second base. You got balls going up the middle, balls into right field. The dude, he never dove. And he always slid feet first. He didn't put himself in peril by going head first and breaking thumbs, which happens all the time. Just happened to Josh Reddick of the Oakland A's this week. There's a way where you can play hard. I'm not saying dog it running to first base. I'm not saying even dog it when you're running around the outfield at all. But I am saying always be in control. There's too much risk in the long season, in my mind, to playing completely crazy, out of control. I'm going to leap and crash into the wall.
But there's a fine line between playing hard and playing in control.
I think the professional athletes are capable of doing it. I mean, Hayward last night, I mean,
you're also talking about a situation where that's the only ballpark in Major League Baseball that's not a home run right there. Except maybe what? Minute Maid Park and Houston, if that's even what that ballpark's called anymore. Who knows? They change
right.
every day. But almost every stadium in baseball, that ball's a home run. It's over the wall. It's a moot point.
Right. I get it. It's okay. He's out of his comfort zone. That even furthers my point, actually. He's out of his comfort zone. Dude, it's one of the first plays of the game. You got Jake Arrieta on the mound. You're 420 feet away in some weird, awkward, not symmetrical outfield. Let the ball just go after it as hard as you can, but please don't go crashing in and falling your hip bone
that
into
could be
your
a triple. Could be inside the park.
I don't
run.
Care. It's one run.
The whole game could change.
So what? It's one game.
Okay.
It's one game. It's one run.
All right. And so you're not going to accuse a player of dogging it the whole season if that's
no. Hold on, I have.
Oh
my,
God, here we go.
I said, just be in control.
Because three times in the last 2 days, I've seen a batter not run to first base on a drop third strike with a runner at third
different.
Base. That drives me crazy.
That's different. I'm not saying don't run to first. I'm not saying don't run hard.
But
after
this
the
is. I played baseball for so long. You either go hard or you don't. There's not. Oh, I do it sometimes out here in the outfield. Sometimes I do it here on the base pass. Sometimes, oh, not today. I'm playing left field. Oh, today there's so much more extra space here in San Francisco. I'm not going to run that hard over into that corner. I'm only going to run hard in this corner. You're either playing hard or you're not playing hard. You can't just turn it on and turn it off.
I turned it on for this segment. I'm going to turn it off for the next one. It's going to be amazing.
See? And that is not the kind of effort I want. I want 100. And 10% for 4 hours here, Mark Carmen.
Yeah, you got it. 312-981-7200. Are you more concerned about the Cubs' effort level and playing hard every day, or is it more like, hey, we're the best team in baseball. Let's play smart. Let's stay on the field, because if we do, World Series. Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. 312-981-7200. I see a couple texts. People didn't know what's happening with the horse at the Preakness. We'll fill you in on that coming back as well. 720 WGN.
Even looks funkier now than he used to look.
He drives that ball in the air out into deep right center. Hayward is back on it. And did he catch it? He did, but he's hurt. Oh, man. What a catch by Hayward, but his health is all that matters.
Unbelievable play.
You know, just going for the play. I knew I had a long way to run. I knew I had a lot of space to make the play. I knew I had enough room to make the catch. Just dive and catch a ball and try and position yourself not to land on the wrist or anything like that. I knew I was good as far as that goes. I just slid, you know, momentum took me into a roll.
You know, I just want to point something out, Mark Carmen. I love Len Casper, but not only would Hawk have known what was wrong with Jason Hayward within
he would have gone
5 minutes, he
yeah.
would have had the MRI results before the MRI happened. That's what Hawk would have done.
And Hawk would have gone down and seen him, give a little special attention like he did for Todd Frazier.
Would have given him his own MRI.
Yeah, Len didn't go down and do that.
No, he didn't.
Hashtag failing Len. Week. Jason Hayward not in the lineup tonight. It is Dexter Fowler, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo moving out to right field. Ben Zobrist, the greatest player ever, Soler and left Baez at second. Russell,
God, this
David Ross,
deep.
And Johnny Lester. So, yeah, they'll be okay. But you, at some point, you start to get a little bit thin here, team.
Can I just say how jealous I am of the Cubs right now?
Ben Zobrist is unbelievable.
Like last year when the Sox sucked, I was just like, oh, this is a cool story. The Cubs are overachieving. You know, we could put the White Sox aside for the rest of the summer, focus in on this great story. And now that the White Sox teased us for a month or so, and their faults are coming through. I still think this is a team that can compete, but they're, you know, you're starting to see, all right, maybe they only have 2.5 real starters. They probably need 3 more bats in the lineup. Now that's all coming out, and I look at the Cubs, and I'm going, okay, you lost Kyle Schwarber for the year. You might have lost Jason Hayward for a while here. Oh, let's just move Ben Zobrist to right field, and Javi Baez is one of our best prospects. He'll just play second base.
It's what
come on.
Hashtag Theo. White Sox are in the sixth inning with the bottom seven with the Royals 2-0 Kansas City. So when Chris Sale pitches, the White Sox win, and when he doesn't,
well, they can't hit right now.
As of late,
no one can hit the ball, at this point. And, you know, last weekend, we'll get into more of this later, but last weekend, I think we were here and you asked me what I was feeling about the White Sox. And I said that the doubt was starting to creep in. Well, since then, a week has gone by and they've won one game.
Yeah, you
and it was a Chris Sale complete game that you only won by one run. And I was at the game Thursday night. You were there too. We'll get to that too.
I was
in a little bit.
I didn't see Adam at the game.
After he promised, I don't even care about me. I see you enough. But you stood my father up.
Oh my God!
And that is just like a personal attack on my family.
Oh my God! Richard Hogue's my favorite person ever. You sound like the text line right now. 331. Harmon, you're an idiot. Quit talking.
Harmon.
You obviously didn't play sports growing up. 312. Mark, you're an idiot. You're a professional player. You play hard every minute of the game, not just in some. That's Neil from Chicago. Neil was like my guy, too, and he just went straight at called me an idiot. That's like harsher than Neil's ever been on me. I'm trying to play hard. If you're calling me an idiot, you're also calling Bryce Harper an idiot. You're calling a lot of players an idiot who are of the elite level. And by the way, there, 331, I did play tons of sports as a kid, and I will be playing in my opening. I'll be on the field tomorrow for a doubleheader to start the softball season. 10 and 11 o'clock, you could come on out and see me dominating out there, 331.
All right, now let me ask you this. When you're out there on the tennis court,
yeah,
Mr. Tennis.
Another one of my greats, another sport that I dominate,
and you,
except when I don't.
And someone flips just this really nice slice that checks up just beyond the net, and you got to crash the net hard
to get there.
To get there, are you going into the net if you need to? Even though you're not supposed to, I realize that. But are you running as hard as you can to get there? Or are you just pulling up and said, you know, it's April and May and it's the first inning. Who cares?
Well, it's
the first set.
Let me answer that question with the if my Achilles is not feeling great that day, well, then I'm going to have to live to play another day. However, if I'm feeling spry and I've done my yoga, my Pilates, and I'm ready to go and it's a match and that I really want to win, I'm going to go get it. And most times I'm going to go get it.
That's what I thought.
But I'm not a gazillion-dollar athlete who's playing 162 games trying to break a 108-year drought.
But this is their livelihood.
Oh, that's fine. A lot of certain guys, when they play, they go crashing in. Look at like Len Dykstra, okay?
Quick poll to interrupt real quick. White Sox at bases loaded, nobody outs. How many runs do they score? I'm going to say zero.
Well, if they were like the Milwaukee Brewers the other night, that was awesome.
I'm sorry.
Okay, we got to get to news, but coming back, I promise we'll update you on what's going on at the Preakness with a horse by the name of Homeboy Chris, who is no longer with us. Great name. Why are you laughing at that? Why are you laughing that Homeboy Chris?
I wasn't laughing.
You laughed. That was a snort and a laugh.
I laughed at the name.
Hashtag.
Horse names are fun.
Homeboy Chris. That's Adam Hogue being unprofessional. R.I.P. Homeboy Chris, he gave it all he had, and he's not with us anymore.
I wasn't laughing at what
people
happened.
That love the horses like Roe Conner are going to be very mad at you. And I love horses too, and so does Dan Long. If I did ever have the money to own a horse, I might even name it Homeboy Chris too. In
Homeboy Chris's
memory.
Memory. All
yes.
Right.
Yes. Quick timeout. News is next. 720 WGN.
What? You were wrong, by the way.
Yeah, Adam Hogue right, Mark Harmon wrong. The White Sox got one run. It went under.
Bases loaded. Nobody out. Jose Abreu up to bat. Todd Frazier on deck. They didn't even get to a third batter. Jose Abreu, who is having some of the worst at bats, definitely. The worst at-bats I've seen since he became a member of the Chicago White Sox. Hits into a double play. That scores a run. Todd Frazier grounds out the third. They got one run out of that situation. I set the over-under at 1.5, which was a pretty low number in that situation to begin with. And you said over, which I would understand from a Cubs fan, because the Cubs would have scored 17 runs in that situation.
Right. They'd make and even when they actually have moments of not coming through, then Chris Bryant will just hit a three-run homer
like
and make it okay.
Like last night when you have that bizarre base running situation where they're lapping each other.
That was bizarre.
And somehow only one of those guys ended up being out, which was a miracle. I thought maybe that easily could have been a double play. Chris Bryant just comes up and hits a three-run homer.
Right. They were just trying to help out the Giants for a second there because it was just, you know, like taking candy from a baby. Arrieta, Cubs, San Francisco, they could perhaps see him in the playoffs. You know what I'm just realizing is that when the White Sox are losing, it affects your ability to actually be happy and enjoy the show. Like, you're impacted right now.
Welcome to my marriage.
How did your marriage get in here?
Well, I'm just saying, like, when do you think Krista made that realization?
Oh, so you take this home, you take it on the radio, you just mope around when the White Sox are losing. How are you still married?
No, it lasts. Yeah, great question. They've been into the playoffs one time since I met my wife 9 years ago.
Well, we got to work on this. We might have to have an intervention because it's not on me.
It's on them.
No, but you had some decent energy going on in the first couple segments. Then they just
scored. It's down.
Then they scored one run with the bases loaded, and you just were like, White Sox, killing me. So, all right, our coming back here, a tragic start to the Preakness Day. A homeboy, Chris, who we mentioned earlier.
This will get my energy back up.
Yeah, he had rallied to win the day's first race by a half a length. It was raining. Homeboy Chris was gutting it out. Makes it to the winner's circle. Gets his picture taken. And then on his walk back to the barn, homeboy Chris collapsed. And apparently had what they're calling cardiovascular collapse. And homeboy Chris... Nine years old.
His heart failed.
Yes, I understand. His heart gave out.
They got to come up with some.
He went out a winner. He went out on top, 9 years old. Really, he went out the way that we all should go out. If I could go out anyway, I'd be walking off the tennis court after an incredible win on a Tuesday night in some league that no one's paying attention to. And I had victory, and then that was it. Thank you. Champion on the way out, just like homeboy Chris.
Okay. But you know what the critics are gonna say here. I mean, he's a 9 year old. I think he'd been in 63 races. They're gonna wonder if they ran him to death.
Oh well, of course. Listen, horse racing,
especially at that age.
There's a lot. There's tragedy always with horse racing. And then the other one today, Pramedia, Pramedya.
Not homeboy Chris.
This is Pramedia. Euthanized on the track after breaking her front leg during the fourth race of the day.
And this got the jockey hurt.
Yep. Broke down around the turn, tumbled to the ground. Jockey Daniel Centeno was thrown to the turf, driven off in an ambulance. Official said he broke his right collarbone. Pramedia, owned by Lyle Stables, L-A-E-L, Lyle, which also owned the Kentucky Derby winner Barbaro, who broke his leg at the Preakness Stakes. If you remember, they tried to get Barbaro back to health, and that didn't end up, you know, once you have that tragic injury, horses don't make it back. So those are the two stories from today. But yes, there's going to be the Preakness at 5:37, and we'll talk to Nyquist, who's not going to be affected.
Nyquist is going to join us at 5:20. He joined us before the Derby and won the Derby, so we'll get inside his head just before post time. Post time's 5:45. So we're going to talk to Nyquist at 5:20.
It's rare access.
Rare access.
And last time he was super confident, put it right in our face, mainly my face.
Mainly yours.
Yes, I will.
You were doubting him.
Well, because once everyone jumps on the bandwagon, you got to think that I was actually trying to help Nyquist out. Hey, man.
Just giving him some subtle jabs to motivate him.
Right. A little motivation for Nyquist. 312-981-7200. 312 is texting in. Carbon, my condolences to homeboy Chris' family, but just as important, please pay proper homage to the owner of Mr. Ed Wilbur, a.k.a. Alan Young, who passed away Thursday at 96 years old. Another one of my heroes gone too soon. Did not know that. 96 years old, it's a great run. We should all be lucky enough to make it to 96. You big Mr. Ed guy there, Adam Hoge?
Nah.
Come on, man. It's Mr. Ed. This guy's a hero. We're getting texts in on him, and we got a guy in the 312. He's weeping about Mr. Ed and can't even feign some love for Mr. Ed.
Wasn't there something you wanted to talk about with, like, your morning being ruined?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we can.
I'm just following your rundown, dude.
Well, yes, but we had to get to a little improvisation here on what's going on at the Preakness. Yes, my morning. Okay, we're gonna take a quick time out. I'm gonna come back and tell you I'll tell you how
it's
my
very important
how my morning
and it's gonna. I need some advice, and it's related to what happened with your morning.
Yes, we need your help, and we'll explain how. Things can just go awry if you say the word yes. No is a key word. No. No. N-O. 720 WGN.
Back here on the beat, Adam Hogan, Mark Carmen here with you till 7 o'clock. Our North Side, South Side report is sponsored by Vienna Beef. All right, so, Carm, you had an interesting morning, apparently, and I think this is actually heavily related to my whole week,
so,
if I understand your topic correctly.
Well, I had a request yesterday by a gentleman that I work with. He was a good guy, fine fellow.
Someone you work with?
Yes.
Not here?
Not here, no.
Okay.
So he asked me, Carm, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, well, I got the radio show, and I'm going out in the evening. Any way you can come by and help me move in the morning?
Ooh.
And I'm like,
this was him asking you yesterday to help you out this morning.
Right.
All right.
So there's probably nothing in the world that I would rather do than, I mean, it's on the end of the list, helping someone move, carrying heavy furniture up and down stairs. And he's like, I got a couch. I don't know how we're going to get it out, but we need a couple guys because I got to jerry rig it around, you know, going down the back porches of Chicago. This gentleman, I've never even been to his house. Like I text this morning, I'm like, how you doing? You need help? I was just praying for a bail. Could really use you. And then it's like, okay, what's the address? What's your address? Like, I feel like if you have never had somebody over,
yeah,
for beers, for to watch a game, to whatever, then you can't ask them to help you move, can you?
That's asking a lot.
I mean, that's like the biggest request you could ever ask someone. Hey, Dan Long, you want to help me move? I mean, I haven't had...
I think that's a fair point. I think especially if... And that's a good threshold. Have you ever had beers with the guy? But I think it has to go way beyond that, too. Like, so, okay, so here's my week.
I mean, if question two here, 312-981-7200. Am I wrong? I mean, it's a coworker. It's a dude I see every single day. I had nothing going on, but I really, really, really didn't want to do it. I wanted to say no. But I felt like...
And you did it.
I did it.
How long did it take?
I'd say it took they were moving a whole deal. I just said,
How big was the place?
I'm in for the couch. He had a one-bedroom apartment. He's moving in with
you. Helped with the couch.
That was all I did.
You were there for like 20 minutes.
But that couch was...
Was this a high-rise?
That couch was pinned against some wall. I was underneath it. It was not fun. But I wouldn't say it was overly taxing. But then they're sitting there with a whole apartment to watch, and they're like... I was like, all right, have a good one. See you later. I got to go. Like, I got to prepare for the show. Right. I got to get a workout in. I'm not moving.
I think you weren't obligated to even do that, but you went above and beyond just for the couch, I think. I'm moving in 2 weeks.
I'm not helping you.
That's fine. You have a radio show to do. I think I'm going to have to actually skip the show to move.
You're skipping the show to move?
Yeah.
No.
When am I supposed to do it? All right, so here's the situation. I'm moving house to house, so it's not just like a one-bedroom apartment.
Right. Right. You're an actual adult.
I got four moving quotes.
Okay.
Two are about $1,300, and two are $1,800.
Okay.
We're leaning towards doing it ourselves. That is a ridiculous amount of money.
You and your wife and James, who's how old?
No, because this gets back to your conversation. I've asked a bunch of friends to help us.
How many friends have you asked?
And these aren't just people I've never had drinks with. These are like three high school friends I've known for a really long time.
So you asked...
Two of them stood up in my wedding.
And what'd they say?
They said, yes, of course. They're obviously, I know they're not thrilled about it. I wouldn't be if they asked me.
How are you going to repay them?
And Adam John said he would come over in the morning and help load the truck for like maybe an hour.
Adam John's on the Mark Carman moving plan. I appreciate that out of Adam John's. I'll do like the bare minimum. See, I have a better suggestion for you.
Is this a good idea or a bad idea?
No, let's get creative for you in a second here.
Okay.
Taxi driver Bob, our guy, is on the line, 312-981-7200. He's got the golden moving rule.
But there's perimeters too, okay? After you get 40, I think is the breakoff point, maybe even 35, you don't help people move after you're mid-30s or 40.
Yeah.
One time I had a friend help me move. This was when I was in my 20s, and he almost pushed me. I was on the bottom end of a big couch, and we're going around corners on a staircase in the back of the building. He almost pushed me off the edge of the, you know, the, went over the rail with the couch.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it's dangerous. You could hurt your back. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. And, I mean, you know, for the money as well, I don't know how much stuff you have, Adam, that they quoted you that much.
I don't think it's as much stuff as they think it is.
Because if you tell them how many rooms and stuff, they could generally get some kind of idea. Usually,
well, they actually came out all four of the estimates. They came out to the house and looked. So you so hope they're pretty accurate then.
I would find a different mover to give you a quote. He might have highballed you on the price.
Why? We did four of them. I mean, I got four companies and...
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, I see. But I mean, you know, I have the rule. I don't help anybody; they don't help me, and I'm good with that. And it's well worth the money you spend to move. You don't have to impose. Who likes moving? I mean, whether
nobody.
It be you or help somebody else move, nobody wants to do that. They're just doing it to be nice, and you're imposing upon them.
You jerk.
Yeah.
Anyway. Bob, appreciate the advice and love
Thank
the motivational
you.
Text right before the show.
I'm going to be moving too, so in another 3 months, and I'm hiring a mover. So,
all right,
we love you taxi driver.
Day.
See you, bud.
And let me say, I agree that movers are worth it. I've used them twice. Our last two moves, we used movers, but those came out to like $600.
So at the $1,300 level, that's just like a ridiculous.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
That's a ton of money if I can do it myself.
But you're making a move. You're making a financial investment as far as your moving houses. This is all going to pay off in the end. You got to factor that in. So you're going to get paid back for this move. Are you making any dough on the house sale?
That's a very personal question.
Okay, fine. I always go too far on these things. I'm just trying to make you feel better about it somehow.
A little bit, but the sales. Okay.
So you're not getting.
That's a little complicated. Hey, here's
6-3.
Do you consider a bed a big item?
Yes, it's a bed.
But it's not that hard to move. You take it apart. Two guys carry a mattress downstairs. That's not a big deal. We have a big sectional couch that's going to be a pain in the butt.
Right there. So you don't
and there's a love seat in the basement.
Oh, I've been in your house.
Yeah.
We're
talking, in my opinion, we're talking about, even if you're going to include the beds as a big item, like six big items.
Right, but here.
Rest is all boxes.
Let's get Gina in
and
here.
And small tables and things like that.
I mean, it is... pretty unanimous here on the old text line here. Gina, you're on 720 WGN. Try to talk some sense into Adam Hoge, please.
Hi. So I really, it's funny, I'm not a huge sports person, but I really enjoy your show and was sort of compelled to call in. And these are the questions. Do you have a job? Which, of course, the answer is yes.
Yes.
Is this the first place you've lived on your own? No.
No.
You're a grown-up.
Yes.
You hire the movers. You hire the movers, and you pay, and it's done and done. and it's over. You do not ask your friends. No, no. You do not ask your family. Because, like you said, who wants to help somebody else move? Nobody, really.
Nobody
wants to do it. So you just pay the money, and then you're done.
Gina, I just want to let you know you're having an effect, because the look on his face is one of pure and utter guilt right now. You're doing
it. Is.
Yeah, you don't ask your friends to do that. You don't ask your family. You ask them for other things, but, like, nobody wants to help anybody move. Nobody.
Thank you, Gina. We appreciate it.
Pay the money. Pay the money. And continued success on your show. You guys are great, truly.
We appreciate you listening, Gina.
Thank you, Gina.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
I mean, that just summed it up right there. Becky's texting in from the 815. If you hurt your back, it's not worth the injury. 815, hire the movers, spread the wealth. Injuries are expensive. Those movers deserve the money. What if your friends get hurt, or you or your wife?
This is basically unanimous.
Yeah, I mean, 815, try two men in a truck to help the move. 630, box all the small stuff and things that can be moved by yourself. Get a mover to do the large things.
No one's bringing up the other part of this, though. I've never had a good moving experience with a company.
You take the
They're
good,
all bad.
Take the good with the bad. Take the good with the bad.
Okay, the best one I ever had.
Yeah.
We got to get to a break. But real quick, the best one I ever had.
Yeah.
Everything got there. Nothing was damaged, but they stole all my beer.
That's the price you pay. It's beer. You can replace it.
That's ridiculous.
720 WGN.
Widows!
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The beat is on.
720 WGN, WGNradio.com.
Conversation has been continuing in the break. It's getting really serious in
here. I'm kind of having like a life crisis right now.
I mean, the last thing you just said was, if I'm going to go movers, I want to go really big, man. I want to get the best movers. I want to have top-notch reviews. They're going to be touching my stuff. I want the best movers out there.
People are getting really personal on the text line. You're not in college anymore. Hire movers.
That's not that personal. I mean, it's...
But they're basically calling me immature.
Yeah, okay.
For trying to move my own stuff. That seems like not really...
I mean, this is a great text. Heavy items. You're going backwards, man. When you're in college in your 20s and ask someone to help, half goes to the trash. I don't know what else he said there.
By the way, I was in my 20s...
yesterday?
Two months ago.
Well...
I'm now in my 30s.
312-981-7200. Is Adam Pogue going backwards in his life by asking people to move him?
The other part of this, by the way, that I didn't mention is that we have 3 weeks to work with. I don't have to do all this in one day.
You really want to drag out a move for 3 weeks, though?
Not really, but again, if it saves me $1,800.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Adam, you know, I'd love to help you out, but I'm very busy. And the body over here, as you know, seeing me walk in here every day.
So let me get this straight. And I haven't asked you yet to help me.
Right.
But on a day where you had a radio show, you went and helped somebody who you don't even really know, who you've never had a beer with. But you're not going to help me, your brother, your co-host.
Well, see, that's the interesting thing there. Because I'm to the people that I'm really friends with, like yourself or by like
you're
like,
much more willing to say no.
I could say no. I could say no to all of them, but the people that I like sort of want to like me that I don't have yet in my, you know,
I see.
Then I got to like earn my keep. So then, okay, fine. I'll do it. Of course, then I'll go on the radio and complain about it, which is probably not the most professional decision that I've ever made, but hey.
By the way, there are people out there, they apparently aren't listening to this show right now or texting. But, like, my next-door neighbor was the one that really talked us into moving ourselves. They moved into their house, which is about the same size as ours, and did it all themselves. They did it over the course of a week, and they were like, don't pay the money. They break all your stuff.
Who's your all-time favorite White Sox player?
Paul Konerko.
Would Paul Konerko pay for movers?
That is dumb.
I'm not saying it isn't. But you could be like Paul Konerko. You could. That's one way you
could be. Paul Konerko is not moving himself into his 15,000-square-foot mansion in Scottsdale, Arizona that Hawk always talks about.
If you don't move yourself, that's one way you could be like Paul Konerko, one of your heroes. Did that work?
No, it didn't.
There's one guy that's on your side. Michael, you're on 720 WGN. This is The Beat. That's Adam Hogue. He's ruining his life. Go ahead.
Not ruining his life. Move yourself, Adam. $1,300 is a big chunk of change. That's the low estimate. give your buddies, buy them dinner, have some beers, enjoy the move with your buddies, and it's not that big of a deal.
That's what I'm talking about.
Michael, you offering your services?
Absolutely. Free.
Wow.
Love you, Mike.
I'm 49 years old. That'll help you move. It's not that big of a deal.
Appreciate it.
All right, Michael, hang on.
Up and get it done. And let me clarify. You're going to the next. Well, let's go to the. All right.
No, I just put him on hold. I want to see if he. Dan, pick up Michael and see if that's actually real, that he's willing to help Adam Hoge. If we get a listener to help you, I just want to see how your guilt would feel about that random Michael helping you out here.
Okay. I have three really good friends that have offered their services all day. Mm-hmm. I have two others, neighbors, including Adam Johns, who covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times, that have offered help for a little bit in the morning to help load the truck. All right, I have my dad, my sister, her fiance, who also, by the way, is helping all day. So that's five people all day that are all in. Two more that are helping
load. What are you going to do for
my father-in-law?
You're going to make Richard Hoge help?
I'm not going to make him carry the heavy stuff, but he can take a box or two into the truck. He can watch little James.
He can watch James.
My point is there's bodies. There's probably at least 10 to 12 bodies around the house that can help get this done.
I mean, I'll come and supervise. I'm happy to supervise. I helped, you know, there was one guy in the media that I did help move back in the day. Did I ever tell you that story?
Oh, God, I can't wait to hear who it is.
You want to guess?
Mark Grody.
No, I did not. No, you'll love this story. I've never told you the story. I'll tell you the story in a second. Let's get Ethan in here, who apparently has some wrestling connection to moving. Ethan, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? No, I was going to if you had any friends like in coach high school football or anything, or a wrestling team, because when I was in high school, coach in the summer, like Sundays, like he, if someone needed help in moving, we would he'd get the whole team to help move, and the person would just donate to our program to get like new uniforms and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
You know Fitz pretty well. Maybe Fitz would orchestrate something for you.
Get the football team out there.
He's at the Preakness today, courtesy of Under Armour, according to Twitter.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I'm rocking Under Armour right now. Why am I not there?
Because you're not on that level.
Good point.
Hey.
Far from that level.
Thank you, Ethan. Appreciate it.
No problem. Have a good one.
Gotcha. 312-981-7200. I was just starting out in radio. I was producing overnights. The gentleman asked me, hey, Karim, what are you doing this weekend?
I think downtown Danny Long is getting Michael's info to help me move.
He is. Michael said he would help you.
Okay, there's another body.
You cannot take on Michael's help.
I'm not going to.
But if Michael really wants in, then, I mean, hey, it's Michael's life, and maybe he gets to hang out with you and your family. There's all that. Maybe Jeannie wants to help, too. Jeannie, you want to help Adam Hoge move?
Absolutely not. I have waited just so I could speak my piece on this matter. I'm 38, and I think it is just absolutely wrong. Unless you're in financial straits, you've been foreclosed, or people know that you're struggling. My husband and I have helped people move, and we're finally, you know, we kind of put our foot down. We had helped a couple move, and I think it was like 3 months later they went on vacation to California. It's just incredibly wrong because you're taking advantage, you know. And like I said to the guy who answered the phone, if you were going to go on vacation, you would not expect your family or friends to take you there so that you could stay in a Hilton as opposed to a Holiday Inn. You know, you take that expense into consideration when you're making that investment. So, no, don't do it. They may be nice to your face, but I'm telling you,
oh, they're bad mouthing.
40 hours, and then go and help somebody else move. They just don't.
Thank you, Jeannie. Appreciate you.
Have a good day.
I think it's pretty clear that...
So now I'm not allowed to go on vacation for a whole year.
Yeah, well...
Jeannie says I can't.
Jeannie's coming real. I think,
got more help from the listeners, by the way. Mitch, my guy from Des Plaines from last week, who won the Lumels in our Chris Sale versus Jake Arrieta contest.
I love Mitch.
He's going to come help, he says. And he says, don't let Karm supervise.
It's not nice, Mitch. I'm a great supervisor. I think women are actually more offended than the men here, although there's a ton of men that are not feeling you on this move. Kathy, you've got a legal issue for us?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you, okay? I've got two things here, okay? I just moved my son out of Loyola University in Chicago.
Go Ramblers.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yes, go Ramblers. And last year, I rented a truck, paid for gas, paid somebody to help me move. Okay, this year, I got a moving company, paid less money. They moved everything, stacked it in the storage unit, and I didn't have to worry about anything.
Got
so
you.
Now, mm-hmm. My point is, you know, I understand you want to move things, but now you got friends and family. God forbid somebody falls, gets hurt, or busts something. Then, you know, who do you blame?
Adam Hogue. Thank you, Kathy. Right. If I come over and supervise while I'm drinking a beer and I slip on your back deck over there, the stairs going down in your basement, I mean, what are you going to do?
Are you going to sue me? Are you going to sue me?
I would never sue you, Adam.
Thank you.
It would be my own fault. I would never do that. Wish you were handy around the house. Learn how to tackle those DIY projects like moving. With some help from local home experts, you can do it with Weekend Workbench. That's Sunday mornings at 11 on WGN-TV. Do we get anywhere with this?
I don't think so. I'm more torn than ever. I wish we hadn't even brought this up because I was pretty much convinced we were going to do it ourselves, and now I don't know what to do. Meanwhile, the White Sox lost 2-1. They had the bases loaded, nobody out in the seventh, scored one run. They lose again. Their offense is horrendous right now. I also have an update, big topic we talked about last week, giving up cable.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
Speaking of life decisions and... which right now I have another big decision with moving I have to make, which isn't very helpful. This is good because everyone last week told me not to give up cable, right?
I think that was the consensus, yes, very much so.
I did it anyway. I'll tell you how it's going. It's been a week. 720 WGN. All right, I have a little bit of beef with one of our callers from the last segment.
Don't do this.
And let me say that I fully realize that moving is one of the worst things in the world. I mean, there's not many things worse besides like Donald Trump. But besides that,
good haze.
Besides that, the caller that said that she was mad because she helped her friends move and then they went on vacation.
That's
3 months later.
That's gotten under your skin?
It has. Because let me tell you this, if my friends couldn't go on vacation because they paid a bunch of money for a move, then I would want to help them so that they could go on a vacation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know if I completely believe you.
Weren't you on the air last week preaching that everyone be nicer to each other? This is what everyone's complaining. Oh, you don't ask your friends and family to move. That's exactly who you ask to move. That's what friends and family are for.
There's one great text of what you're talking about from the 6-3. I love moving. Having friends help can be a great bonding experience, and they frequently want the things you would rather leave behind. From Jeff. That's our guy.
Thank you, Jeff.
It can be a bonding experience. We did bond today. I'll be honest. On the couch move today.
You bonded a little bit?
When we got that thing around 7 different turns and it was finally down, I mean, I high-fived everybody. I high-fived the guy who was doing the move. I high-fived his buddy who was helping him, was a great man. And I high-fived his fiance. I was so happy. Mainly because we were done. Even though then I didn't realize that they were actually doing the rest of the move themselves and I was leaving. But I high-fived everyone.
I think you did your part today. That's fine.
But there was bonding. And then there's the 414. I see you, Milwaukee. I would offer my help to move until I was 40. I consider it my workout for the day, but I did require beer and pizza. There was Oreos available today for the move. I didn't have any because I was, you know. We're going to do did you win your workout today at 6:35 if you're the type that listens to the whole show. We love you.
Yes, we're going to bring that segment back this week. And Hoag's Headlines.
Oh, Hoag's Headlines is at 5 o'clock, and I'm very excited. So tell us about your cable experience.
Okay,
you haven't had cable for a week.
If you missed the show last week, we kind of had a similar discussion as we're having today about moving. It was about whether or not I should give up cable, which, by the way, my father pointed out, I never mentioned that I was moving, which is the reason why I'm doing this now, right? That's part of why this is a trial and experience right now, because...
What do you mean you never mentioned it on the show?
I never mentioned it on the show when we did that whole segment about cable. Yeah. So that was part of the reason why I'm not just like all up and deciding, nah, I'm getting rid of cable. But since we're making the move, I decided, let's try this. Let's see how it goes for a few weeks before we actually move out of the house. So I've gone a week without cable. Technically, this is day 6. And I can honestly say there was not a... Actually, let me say, there was half of one moment this week where I wish I had had cable. And that was Thursday afternoon when I wanted to turn on the golf for a moment.
What about Cubs and Milwaukee Thursday afternoon? 5-3 game?
As I suspected, it did not take me very long to figure out a way to watch all the baseball games I needed to this week.
You were able to watch the baseball games live?
I was able... Look, how many callers did we hear from last week that said there's a way to find the games?
Many.
Almost all of them.
Would you say you're...
At least all the ones that were supporting my stance on this. And they were right. I found a way to watch every game I needed to this week.
So you're saying that you're saving money...
Yes.
...on cable, but you won't pay for movers. Am I hearing this correctly?
Okay, well, here's the thing.
Did you hear that, Dan? He is not going back to cable. He's feeling the love.
I don't know if... Whoa.
Whoa, what?
I'm not making a declaration here that I'm not going back to cable.
You're not?
No.
You just puffed out your chest.
I'm just saying 6 days have gone by, and I haven't missed it for a second.
I mean, that's a declaration to me. 6 days have gone...
6 days is not a very long time, though.
Dan?
6 days is pretty commendable.
Well, I'm surprised, though. I'm saying, like, I thought there would be many more moments this week where I'm like...
I can't watch what I want to watch. I'm just letting you see another avenue.
I did subscribe to, or I did a 7-day trial for Sling TV, which allowed me, you'll be proud of this, to watch some of the basketball this week.
Did you watch Steph Curry? Did you watch Steph Curry dominate?
I did.
Because we're going to talk about that after the 4:30 news here. Although White Sox just wrapped up. Sox fans, if you want to whine like Adam Hogue, just that deep sigh of nauseousness right there.
That's exactly what that was. This team is now 2-8 in their last 10 games.
Hey, real fast, let me bring in our guy that I helped move today. He was listening.
He was listening to you.
He texted in as I complained that he forced me out of my comfort zone to help him move. Hey, Matt Verderam, a fan sided. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Do you feel guilty by having a 42-year-old breaking down at the Carm come over and help you with the couch as you rethink about everything that happened today? Where's your guilt level?
Zero.
Nice.
You were available. You were nice enough to help. And if you had been available for 8 more hours, I would have put you to work for 8 more hours. And I would have offered you an adult beverage or two. And as you point out, Oreos were there. Peanut butter Oreos, no less. I don't want to hear anything.
So, Matt.
Yes.
Now, I'm not moving out of an apartment. This is a house-to-house deal. But where do you stand on my situation here?
How old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay. You should have no problem doing it yourself. As long as, like, I could see maybe getting a couple of movers to help with the real big stuff. But the rest of it, a little bit of a workout. Get the workout in. You get to skip a couple days to the gym afterwards.
There is a service you can add on. If you like get a U-Haul truck, you can have a couple movers come over for like 2 hours.
It's not bad at all. It's like $90. Well, I skipped it because I know I had Carm. I could break his back. And then another buddy of mine I used to work with, John Bass, I figured I'll put him to work and get him a few beers, and it was not going to be a problem. It was cheap labor.
The great Jonathan Bass, Campus Insiders, everybody in media helping out on this Matt Verderam fan-sided move. Hey, Verderam, before you go, because we're up against the news here, 1 to 10, grade my performance, 10 being the best, 1 the worst.
I got to give you a solid 8. You really hung in there. That For anyone listening who doesn't understand, we moved a couch today that was the size of Texas down a circular staircase, and it happened, and we made it. And so I'd like to thank Carm in front of the whole city of Chicago. Thank you, sir. And don't be afraid to move. It's not that bad.
Thank you, Matt.
Matt, you're the man. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Take care, guys.
There you go. Now that was worth it. Now I feel like, all right, I got value. Third round came to my...
You didn't do that much.
I didn't. I really didn't.
All right.
But I did, at one point, I dove underneath the couch and, like, you know, leaned up. It was a legit effort.
How are you feeling?
At the time?
Like, right now.
I feel good. No, no. Right. It was physically, it was not taxing at all.
News is next. 720 WGM.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
Hey, in honor of Memorial Day, WGN Radio has released a series of videos highlighting our behind-the-scenes access to Marine Boot Camp at the Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego. Mark Carman, you were there.
It was unbelievable.
One of these videos is called The Crucible. You saw The Crucible. It's been viewed more than 80,000 times already. The Crucible shows the final challenge that recruits must complete in order to become a Marine, carrying 60 pounds of gear over 48 miles within 54 hours with 6 hours of sleep and only two meals. At the end of the challenge is the emotional Eagle, Globe, and Anchor ceremony that marks the transformation into a Marine. You can watch The Crucible and see the entire video series online at WGNradio.com/Marines.
It's truly an incredible performance.
The video is fantastic.
Shanae, who put in so much of the work as far as doing all the filming and the editing and everything, I mean, she really did an unbelievable Oscar-worthy job on it, and it was unbelievable to be out there.
Why are you there? I still don't understand that.
Because I'm tough, Adam. Because I'm the type of guy that you want on that wall, you need on that wall, just like a few good men. I'm that guy. I have no idea why I was out there is the real answer. I was invited. You want to spend a week with the Marines? I said, absolutely. This seems like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it was.
And it was San Diego in February.
Right, and I got to hang out with Shanae and Jackie and Patty. That wasn't terrible. Those are fun people. So it was a great time, but more so than anything else, I got such a respect for what the military goes through, and specifically the Marines, because that's who we were out there with. And the video is just... You know, you've got like a, there's one point in that video, not to ruin it, but you should check it out, but there's like a 5'1" dude who's, the pack on his back is the size of him, and he's just been through this 3-day experience, and his whole body is basically convulsing as he's crying that he made it. And you know, you're a little guy, so I could relate to it, on at least before I became like an average size guy, that here's this little dude who's up with all these Marines, and he went through everything and he made it. And he wasn't the only one being emotional. I mean, most of those guys were. But just to watch that guy, just having the tears flow out, it was incredible. It really was. And congratulations. It was, I mean, it's a great, great video. And
seriously, go check it out. WGNradio.com/Marines. All right, so we got a little bit of a problem in this town right now.
Is that the White Sox?
Well, this whole baseball summer that's been... You know, promoted for World. Last month or so, that both teams are going to the playoffs and everything's great.
Well, if the season ended today, both teams would be in the playoffs, yes.
Correct. But the White Sox had a 5-game lead in the AL Central on Sunday. It's now down to 1.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And they've gone 2-8 in their last 10 games. Let me give you...
it's not very good.
Here's a negative thing to go with that, and then a positive.
Okay.
Maybe a positive. The negative is that those two wins in their last 10 games were Chris Sale starts. And not only were they Chris Sale starts, but they were complete games, and games they only won by 1 run. Okay? So you're probably not going to get that all season as good as Chris Sale is. Not that you're going to go, hopefully he'll win some other games too, by the way. But, okay, here's if you're looking for a silver lining, and Sox fans probably don't want to hear this, but the 8 losses, coming in today, the 7 losses had been by just an average of 1.7 runs per game. And today they only lost by 1 run. They lost 2-1. So that average goes down. they've been in all these games, and they're just not scoring runs.
That's the silver lining, that they've been close? Am I hearing this correct?
Well,
they're not getting killed?
They're not getting killed. It's not like the last 2 years where they, you know, they give up three runs in the second inning and the game's over.
How about just the silver line? Listen, they're in first place by a game. It's a very long season.
Well, if they're 25-18, I think if you ask most Sox fans at the beginning of the season, if they're 25-18 on May 21st, would you take that? They would all say yes.
No question. And you're a game up, and you got a pretty tough week, though. You got the Royals tomorrow, then you got Cleveland coming in here for four, and then you go to Kansas City for four. Whatever, that's a long season. The bottom line is, the White Sox, I thought it was interesting this week that Rick Hahn was out there saying, hey, you know, we got this window with Chris Sale and Quintana, and they're looking to make deals to bolster the roster. I mean, they're clearly
they have
all
to.
Well, yeah.
They made this decision. Remember last year we were talking, do you blow this thing up or do you keep trying? And they made the decision to go out and get Todd Frazier and Brett Laurie and Jimmy Rollins and Austin Jackson and try to make a run with this thing with veterans. And I don't know if you noticed, but Trace Thompson out there in L.A. Dodger land?
Yeah.
Been a pretty solid player.
Yeah, he started slow, but then he's come on.
He's come on. He looks like a real prospect for them.
Right. And
so,
now,
I mean, you gave up some things.
You're going to give up, and then it's top shortstop prospects crushing it in AAA. You think if you were actually going to make a real deal, the conversation would start with him,
Tim
Anderson.
Tim Anderson.
So you're going to make that move?
Well, that's why I would ask Sox fans right now, 312-981-7200, would you rather see Tim Anderson come up in the second half of the season, hope it's kind of like a Cubs deal where you can get one of these prospects like Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber contributing right away. Now, I'm not trying to say that Tim Anderson's to that caliber.
That's good.
But, you know, I think a knock here with the White Sox and their drafting is, you know, other than Chris Sale and Carlos Rodon, who, by the way, Rodon's been struggling, you know, their prospects, especially positionally, and we've been over this, like their last good positional draft picks were Frank Thomas and Robin Ventura. Like, they don't have guys like Chris Bryant who come up and just start mashing, where you have this controversy because you don't bring them up for the first 14 days of the season or whatever it was. I mean, so would you rather see Tim Anderson on this ball club take over for Tyler Saladino and Jimmy Rollins, or would you rather trade him and bring in, I don't even know who you pick up at this point, but you need a couple more bats. You need at least one more good starter. Tim Lincecum signed with the Angels, not the White Sox. I don't even know how good he would end up being.
You know what I'm looking forward to? Monday, July 25th, Tuesday, July 26th,
yeah.
Wednesday, July 27th, and Thursday, July 28th.
Because Bears training camp starts that week?
No, that would be two games at White Sox, U.S. Cellular Field on Monday and Tuesday, and then two games at Wrigley on Wednesday and Thursday.
You're a ticket guy, by the way. What do you think the lowest price ticket on StubHub is for that first Monday game at U.S. Cellular Field? Don't look it up. I know the answer already.
$32.
$55.
Okay.
And that's like upper corner of the
I got it.
Upper deck.
The worst seat in the house. I thought it was interesting this week when Sale pitched.
Those seats aren't very worn out, though, if you're looking for a positive.
That's true.
It's nice and comfy and clean.
It's a very fresh seat. Tim Anderson, like, for me, the Sox have gone far enough all in for me. I'm not trading any huge time, your best prospect to try to win this year.
But when are they going to win?
I'd rather bring him up and roll the dice and play him. I'm not saying you don't add on.
By the way, I don't want to say too. I don't want to like say that Tim Anderson's killing it in AAA, but he's turned it on. His slash line's 304, 304 batting average, 328 on base percentage, 399 slugging. You know, the OPS is at 726, which isn't fantastic, but it's kind of along where it's been for most of his minor league career. So, you know, you hope that translates to the major leagues and summer. I don't, but that's asking a lot from him.
Yeah, it controllable young talent in baseball is the most valuable commodity you have. And when you don't have anyone who can play shortstop, unless you want to roll the dice with Tyler Saladino, who was unbelievable last night at short, making plays up the middle, plays in the hole.
Let me ask you this, though.
Yes.
And I don't know the trade.
I love when you get serious on the Sox. It's really the look that I'm getting from Adam Hogue right now is really serious.
And this is a total hypothetical.
Okay.
I don't know what the Dodgers wanted in that trade, but chances are the White Sox didn't want to part with Tim Anderson. But let's say, hypothetically, you had given up Tim Anderson instead of Trace Thompson. And I don't know if Trace Thompson's going to be any good. He looks good right now with the Dodgers. But that would have solved your center fielder problem right now, because you still could have moved Adam Eaton to right. You would have had Trace in center. Trace in center, Adam Eaton right. Your outfield's just as good. And he's probably giving you more than what Austin Jackson's giving you offensively right now, which isn't a whole lot. Does that make you any better?
Hold on a second. In the Dodgers trade,
it was Trace Thompson and Micah Johnson, I think, like a couple arms.
And what did they get back? Remind me.
They got Todd Frazier from the Reds.
It was a three-way deal. Right.
Because you're not regretting that deal right now. You got Todd Frazier, and he's 0 for 4 today.
Well, you absolutely. Todd Frazier's changed the entire complexion of that clubhouse. I was out there on Thursday when I didn't come and see you and your dad. And
you were talking to Todd Frazier.
I talked to Chris.
Oh, I saw Rokan at the game the other night.
Wow, Thursday.
Yeah, he was sitting a couple sections over.
Okay, go Rokan. I like him coming out seeing some White Sox baseball too. Maybe it's going to become a thing. Everybody's going to jump on board here. Although the crowd out there on Thursday,
bad week to jump on.
It was the crowd out there on Thursday night was not incredible. Here, I'll tell you what was interesting about Todd Frazier and Chris Sale and what was going on in that White Sox clubhouse coming back, because we do have to take a quick break. 312-981-7200. Chris Sale had some very interesting things to say about Jake Arrieta. We'll play that for you coming back. 720 WGN. Question for you at 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Adam Ho. Who's the best pitcher in this city right now? Is it Chris Sale or is it Jake Arrieta? Chris Sale, Jake Arrieta, which we played that game the other week, which was it was unbelievable, the ratings for that game.
Yeah.
Sale versus Arrieta. I got a call from the Broadcast Hall of Fame, and they were like, can you send us that audio so we can put it in our vault to play forever? And I said, sure, we'll get that done. Dan, did you send that over to him?
Yep.
Thank you. It's done. Thank you very much, Dan. Chris Sale or Jake Arrieta, who's the best pitcher in Chicago?
That's a hard question.
You know who was
I think if you were to ask me right now in the last 2 weeks who's been more dominant, was Arrieta's no-hitter more than 2 weeks ago?
Arrieta's hitter was more than 2 weeks ago.
Chris Sale's been pretty good lately. Okay. I mean, well, they've both been really good. Did you see, though, Joe Maddon was talking about how Arrieta doesn't even have his best stuff right now?
Yes.
That's scary.
This was Chris Sale over at the ballpark the other day as Adam Ho contemplates on who the best pitcher in baseball is, who the best pitcher in the city is.
He's as good as it gets right now. I mean, he's by far the best pitcher in baseball right now. I mean, I don't think there's really that much of an argument for it.
That was Chris Sale by far.
On Jake Arrieta,
by far. Can we play that again? Can I hear that by far part again? By far the best pitcher in baseball.
He's as good as it gets right now. I mean, he's by far the best pitcher in baseball right now. I mean, I don't think there's really that much of an argument for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think he wants to face Jake Arrieta?
Yes, I do.
Let's hear that one. Does Chris Sale want to face Jake Arrieta?
To be the best, you got to beat the best, and I think that would make for a great game. And I think that the rivalry is going to be a little bit more intense this year. And I think there's going to be a lot more energy in the ballparks when we're playing, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So he wants to face him.
God, can we please somehow figure out a way to make that happen? Like, don't you think Joe Maddon is, like, cool enough that he would, like, line up the rotation to do that?
Maybe so. They're going to be – well, it's July.
It's
at the end
late
of July.
July.
So you can sort of – they could – what do you want? You want Maddon and Ventura to get together on a conference call during the All-Star break and say, hey, let's line this up, because they're both going to be pitching in the All-Star game.
Look, I think they could line it up in the All-Star break, but then you never know what's going to happen. If someone gets hurt, you got to move some guy around, you get a rain out for some reason, things could get screwed up.
And that's the other thing, too. right now, Chris Sale is the starting pitcher for the American League, and Jake Arrieta is the starting pitcher for the National League. If they don't end up pitching on
the
Sun,
sure, because Kershaw's been.
Come on.
Yeah, but I saw some things this week from baseball people that were like, Kershaw's been better than Arrieta. Sorry.
Well, listen, the guy is 8-0, and I know people don't get hyped on wins anymore, which is kind of bothers me. It's still a stat that has some relevance. Thank you very much. But regardless,
can
all the other
the stats real quick. I got them right here.
Go ahead.
All right, Chris Sale's 9-0. Jake Arrieta is 8-0.
Mm-hmm. What's the ERA?
It's a wash, especially for wins and losses. ERA, Chris Sale's 1.58. Arrieta is 1.29.
So which is better?
Arrieta's got the edge.
Yes.
Let's go with complete games. Chris Sale has 3. Arrieta has 1.
Mm-hmm.
That was a no-hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Shutouts. Chris Sale has 1. Jake Arrieta has 1. That was a no-hitter. What else do we want to look at? Whip? You want a little whip?
Sure, give me some whip.
All right. Chris Sale's whip is 0.717. Jake Arrieta's whip is 0.841.
Jake Arrieta, listen, to me it's a complete coin flip. Bottom line, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the program, I think people are going to be super excited for Cubs Sox, and they haven't been for a long time. And Sale and Arrieta both on the mound at the All-Star break is incredibly cool. And the White Sox, as rough as it's been the last, whatever, 10 days, they're still going to be around the race. They're not going anywhere, I don't think.
Walks per 9 innings?
Sure.
Sale, 1.3. Arrieta, 2.9. Okay. You shut me up.
No, I'm just telling you, we got to go finish.
I know I'm going to sound by. I think Sale's been a little bit better, a little bit more dominant overall.
312-981-70.
I also think Arrieta hasn't been pitching as well as he can. So, but it's really close.
This is 720. Hoag headlines coming up after the 5 o'clock news. 720 WGN. Talk about what you love about Adam Hoag for a second.
Adam Hoag is the best Bears beat reporter of all time.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Goodness.
All time. I did not make that rejoin, for the record. Thank you, Dan Long.
Did you tell Dan Long?
No, I did not know that was coming. Dan, back me up.
I can confirm that.
Thank you.
Right from my own head.
And I also appreciate that from our boy Mitch last week from Des Plaines. And I also, as I pointed out in the moment, I disagreed with him. I mean, at least Don Pearson and Dan Pompey, better.
720 W.
There's probably at least 20 others, too.
No, hey, just leave yourself at the top of the list. Pat yourself on the back. I think that's okay. 720 WGN, he's Adam Hoag, the best beat reporter in Chicago Bears history?
Yeah.
I'm Mark Carman, just a regular guy who's trying to make a nickel. Live a dream. Talk to Adam Hoag during Adam's Hoag Headlines. Adam Hoag's Headlines.
That's what the music means.
720 WGN. The headlines that we did not get to that Adam Hoag thinks are important right now on 720 WGN. Headline number one.
Something went terribly wrong. This is from SB Nation. For Idaho State's Shelby Erdl during the women's 400-meter hurdles final at the Big Sky Track and Field Championships. The senior was in the midst of running the final race of her career when her left Achilles tendon ruptured. Ouch. Know anything about that injury? It's painful.
It's my biggest athletic fear right now that
your Achilles goes out.
Well, I have pain in both of them. One day they're just going to snap, and yeah. I won't be the world-class athlete that I am right now.
It's a tough one. Usually it takes like over a year to get back from it. Despite being in what appeared to be excruciating pain, Erdl didn't call for medical assistance. Nope. Carmen, she got up and kept going.
Love that determination.
By being one of the 8 players to qualify for the finals, Erdl earned her Idaho State team at least 1 point. If she finished the race, that is. A single point for the team normally would have been at the forefront of some athletes' thoughts after suffering such a serious injury. But it was for Erdl. She got up and made her way through the end of the race, including stepping over several hurdles with just one leg. At various times, she screamed in pain as she somehow trotted through the final paces of the race. Carmen, SB Nation brings up a great example. Remember when Kobe Bryant...
I was going to say Kobe.
...tore his Achilles tendon but stayed in the game to make his two free throws? Many consider it among the most impressive moments of Bryant's entire career. Ertl tore his Achilles and then ran the final five hurdles of the race.
Ertl's an inspiration to us all, no matter what you're up against in the moment. To be able to battle through like that and not give in, saying, I can rather than I can't. Let's all think about that for a moment. Congratulations to her. And what was the team?
Idaho State.
And Idaho State.
Wrigley Field is one of your favorite places in the world, is it not?
It is.
Remember when Northwestern played football there against Illinois?
I do, and I know that they're thinking about getting back there again.
This week, Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune caught up with our guy, Jim Phillips, the Northwestern Athletic Director. Jim Phillips told Teddy, quote, we're anxious to get something done. I'm close with those guys. I talk to Cubs chairman Tom Ricketts all the time. Everyone is motivated to do it. It's really on their timeline. Phillips hopes the Wildcats can return to Wrigley in November 2017. In 2013, the Cubs agreed to stage up to five more NU football games at Wrigley, plus NU baseball and lacrosse games. The baseball and lacrosse games have happened, but football is on hold until the Cubs move ahead with the on-field renovations. Right now, the Cubs didn't say anything about the timeline, but Crane Kenny said, quote, we would move the dugout top, and that would allow us to put a 12-foot perimeter around the whole field. You may remember, they only had one sideline in that game. Both teams shared the same sideline, and they had to go one direction because there wasn't enough space in one of the end zones.
You can remove the dugout top?
Apparently, that's what they're planning on.
That doesn't seem possible, but if it can be done, the Cubs will make it happen. Hashtag Theo. When's that statue being built?
After they at least win a World Series. Don't you think that's fair?
If I was them, I'd buy the products right now, get a good deal, because you're going to need it. Theo's getting that statue.
Did you see this yesterday? A new strike zone could be on baseball's horizon.
I hate this.
And
Go ahead.
Remember the old-fashioned intentional walk?
Yes.
I mean, it probably happened today somewhere. That could be a thing of the past. Both were agreed to by the competition committee at Major League Baseball's owners' meetings this week, according to Jason Stark from ESPN. The committee agreed to on a motion to effectively raise the lower part of the strike zone. This is where it gets fun. To the top of the hitter's knees. The current rules stipulate that the zone begins at, quote, the hollow beneath the kneecap. That's very specific, considering that players are wearing pants.
Or a.k.a. the bottom of the knee. What baseball needs, if I may, and I don't think this headline's obscure enough for Hulk headlines, by the way, if I can do a production meeting on the air. This is a major, major story that Carm wants to talk about.
Okay. We can do it later on the show.
Okay, good. The strike zone needs to be bigger, not smaller. We don't need a little teacup strike zone. How long do you want games to take? They're already too long as it is. You're making the strike zone smaller, baseball? Come on, man.
Well, let me give you a reason why you, as a Cubs fan, should like this. Because the change is a reaction to a trend by umpires to call strikes on an increasing number of pitches below the knees. It's basically a response to the umps being wrong a lot on low pitches. And this is something that Chris Bryant, if he struggled with anything his rookie year, it was when umpires were calling strikes that were not strikes. Because they were too low, and he was looking at them, and he was getting called out.
Well, if it's going to be good for Chris Bryant, then I might have to rethink this.
By the way, the intentional walk rule, basically, instead of having to throw the four pitches,
yeah, go to first.
You just say go to first.
I'm completely good with that. I don't need to see. Okay. I don't need the human error of four pitches. Go to first. Let's speed it up.
I'm cool with that too. I don't really care. All right. Lastly, this was something you sent me today.
A Carm addition to Hogue Headlines.
Yes, this will be a Carm headline, maybe. But there's a sports anchor out in San Francisco named Gary Radnich.
The Radnicher.
Little sensitive, I think. He's in the middle of doing a sports cast.
That's one word, by the way, sensitive. There's other words.
And the news anchor, whose job isn't to do the sports, interrupted him to tell him that she had already reported a couple of the stories he was talking about. Now, that's questionable, too. We'll talk about this in a second. But
this is splendid audio.
Here's the audio from KRON Channel 4 out in San Fran.
The Kron.
Hunter Pence is the National League Player of the Week, and the Giants end up with a 9-6 win. We should tell you LeBron James is going to star in Space Jam.
Well, we actually, oh, you mad? Because I already read that. I'm sorry.
How's Steph Curry's knee?
He's nursing it, and it's getting better.
Mm-hmm. How long have we been friends? 23 years.
I didn't know you were going to do
it. Have you ever, and I'm going to say this with a smile, ever heard me say right before you came on, there's an irrigation problem in Gilroy?
You have to talk to Kasim.
You ever heard me say, oh, it's warm weather today? Never. I stay in my lane. And it's just to a friend to do that.
You got to talk to Kasim.
I like Kasim. Yeah. So don't try and pit me against the producer, Kasim.
Well, he gave me that lovely script.
And here's that. It's hard for me to get mad. Catherine has stayed at my mother's home.
What?
She's written my mother notes.
Huh?
And stolen my material. So how do I get mad? Anyway, how is Curry's knee?
Improving.
Okay, well.
Hey, LeBron was very good in Trainwreck, so this will be fun. Okay, I shouldn't have brought it up.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And Michael Jordan starred in Space Jam, as you earlier reported.
I'm sorry.
All right. Darn it, hard to be mad at Catherine, though. She's a good friend of my mom's, and there's going to come a time when you have to choose between the love of your mother and your mother's friends and the honor and dignity of Kron. We may have reached that level.
Please.
Okay, let's do the story again then. In the last 2 minutes, Curry is still about the same, all right? He's got a sprained knee.
Yeah.
That never happens on live TV.
So here's a tweet from Gary. I don't know if you saw this 6 hours ago. Our friend Gary, Kron4, G. Radnich.
Uh-huh.
Wow, I must be a good actor. All this feedback from people who thought I was mad. Please watch again. I'm playing. I don't think he was playing.
Gary.
He seemed genuinely upset about the whole thing.
Can't walk it back now, Gary. That was great television. I think we should do that more.
Like, he lost it on the air.
I love a good meltdown. Maybe we should have more meltdowns on the show.
Like, she doesn't need to interrupt him to tell him on the air. Like, that's something like...
Right, that was the problem.
Like if Bob Kessler is up in the newsroom and he reads a story and then we talk about it right away... Like, coming out of it because we didn't hear him do it during the news, he's not going to interrupt us and say, hey, look, I just did that in the news. He's going to maybe call down during a break and be like, hey, just so you know, I did mention that.
Right. Normally there's communication, though. Like, say if you're doing a sports update and Judy Pilak, hashtag the great Judy Pilak, would say, hey, I'm going to do this thing on sports and news. And then normally the sports guy would be super happy. I always am. Hey, great. You take that. One less thing for me to do. No problem. But this guy was like, you're creeping into my territory. I do all the sports. I'm the sports guy.
Yeah.
Dude.
She talked
about a sports movie, which I'm not exactly sure why that's news, but maybe she was, you know, whatever. They're doing some entertainment. Relax there, sports guy. No one's trying to crimp in on your Kron sports knowledge. You are the sports guy. All-knowing sports guy.
That's it for Hogue's Headlines.
That's it.
Because we have a very special guest coming
up. Oh, yeah. We got the horse.
We have a horse by the name of Nyquist. He won the Kentucky Derby. He joins us next on 720 WGN.
Back to the beat on 720 WGN.
And they come to the final furlong. Exaggerator is closing in. Nyquist the catch with a 16th to go. Gunrunner. Exaggerator on the outside. Nyquist and Exaggerator. They're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
That was Nyquist just a couple weeks ago in the Kentucky Derby, and just minutes after he spoke to us on WGN, Nyquist, the Triple Crown contender this year.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. He was on with us while we were at Halls and Hood doing our Kentucky Derby remote, and he was super cocky, and I didn't really like his chances, and he came through, and amazingly, right before the Preakness, we were able to bring in Nyquist again on WGN. Nyquist, we do. I think I actually offer. I owe you an apology because I didn't think you had it in you. But I'm going to double down. And a lot of people right now think that you're going to win the Triple Crown. I just don't see it. And today it's a very muddy track. You seem like a very pretty horse that can't handle the slop. So I don't like your chances today.
Hey, good afternoon to you too.
the heck was that? Out of the box you come up with this stuff? I was just going to say how lucky you guys were to me. Yeah. I'm really pleased to be on with you guys. I wanted to ask you a question. You can verify this for me. I got a text from Tom Skilling. He's the weather guy there.
Yeah, we know him.
He said LeBron James is going to be like being in a new movie or something.
Yeah.
You can verify.
Yeah, he's going to be in Space Jam. Haven't you seen that? They don't have that in your stall?
No, I'm actually not in the stall, this stupid PC thing. I got to be like 20 feet away from the barn door to smoke. It's ridiculous.
You're smoking right before the race?
I always smoke before the race. A couple Marlboros, my life is good.
Hey, Nyquist, I got to ask you. I know you felt pretty good coming down the stretch at the Derby. You may even took a little peek over your shoulder, felt like you had it. But, you know, Exaggerator was coming for you. And he ran a very good race in the slop at Santa Anita. If I were you, I might be a little worried today.
You know, first of all, I call him Over-Exaggerator. Let me explain. I was not looking over my shoulder. I was checking my watch. I was showing him, going, hey, do you know what this is? This is called a watch. That's what I was doing.
Okay.
I got no problems today. Muddy doesn't matter to me. I run better in the mud.
Who's your number one competition, Nyquist? I mean, with Stradivari, the 11 horse coming in at 8-1. This guy was, this horse, I should say, has been running by all sorts of horses, but he's making a big step up in class. Are you afraid of Stradivari or Abiding Star or perhaps an Uncle Lino?
Uncle Lino. Uncle Lino's he's with the mob, so I'm a little concerned. He wins. I win, could be an issue. You know what I'm saying? You don't know. I'm from Philly. You probably know that right now, right? So this is kind of a neat thing. I know the whole mob, so we'll see what happens. But Uncle Lino, I would think, would be my biggest competitor.
Yeah, I got to ask you, I mean, very serious moment earlier today. Actually, a couple horses passed away out there at the Preakness.
Horrible.
At Pimlico. Is that in your head at all as you start this race?
No, I heard about it. I was out. I had gone to, they got these diners in Baltimore. Oh, man, you got to go. It's like, you can have as many pancakes as you want. You just sit there and they go, you want some more? I go, yeah, I'm a horse. Give me more pancakes. I don't care. But I heard it afterwards, and I know them guys. I felt really bad for them, you know. It's God bless their families and everything. We were playing cards like 3 days ago. It's freaky.
What can you tell us about homeboy Chris? 9 years old, went too young.
Yeah, well, he's a little older than me. He was talking, and the sad part is he was about to hang it up. He's like, listen, I'm going to go stud. I go, you should do it because you're losing here at the card game. You should just go. Great guy, just a great guy. Never smoked, drank a little bit, not to excess. But it's a sad, sad day, both of them. I feel bad for them. It's horrible. But it's not in my head. I don't worry about that.
Are you
I don't know if you noticed. Go ahead.
No, I was wondering, are you running for homeboy Chris today?
No, I'm running for Dougie O.
Who's Dougie O?
It's my trainer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
You guys not do your homework?
No, I thought it was another horse. I didn't know that, you know. Doug O'Neill, I thought you'd give him a little bit more respect than to call him Dougie O.
No, Dougie O is a great guy. He's got a sliver today. I think he got it from the barn door. I'm not positive, and he's kind of in pain. I said, Dougie, to me to you, I love you. You're my friend. I'm gonna run for you.
All right. Well, we wish you the best of luck, Nyquist, and I apologize for my co-host here. He I don't know what he has against you, but he doesn't like you. I like you a lot. I want you to go after the Triple Crown, and let's see this thing happen 2 years in a row.
It's not that I don't like you, Nyquist. I just want you to stay focused. You have a chance to be a part of greatness, be a part of history. And if you get all cocky, then that's not going to happen. So I want you, dialed it in. Dial it in right now.
I got it, man. And you know what? It's okay because you are keeping me focused. The only bad thing is I'm not even thinking about today's race. I just want to get to the Belmont. I got that all situated.
Okay.
But thanks for putting it in my face.
Thanks, Nyquist. We'll talk to you before the Belmont.
Hey, love you guys.
Good all luck right. today.
Thanks, Nyquist.
About to get on the track. I don't know. I don't like it.
I mean, if he loses, we know why. He's just told us right before the race he's thinking about the Belmont.
I didn't like that. I don't like the attitude. Okay. Just telling you, it's a rainy track. He's got a, now, but we know that at least he's got Uncle Lino in his head, which, you know, that could be a factor too.
The mobster. All right.
Yes.
We got it. Once again, we are awful with the news today. 720 WGN.
Getting you ready for the Preakness, the 141st Preakness.
Didn't you have a pick that you were going to share?
I am picking right before the race. I've got the 11 horse, Stradivari.
Okay.
I've got the 11 over for our gamblers out there. Cherry Wine, because you got to love a number one horse on a muddy track. So I'm going to take the rail horse, Cherry Wine. You got to have a Nyquist in there, so that's the three horse. And you got to have Exaggerator in there. Those are the top two horses, so I got 1, 3, 5. And I'm going to throw in Fellowship at 30-1, because that'll hopefully boost up the price of what I'm betting here.
Okay.
11 over 1, 3, 5, and 10, for those of you who are able to put in bets at the last minute. I'm an expert in horse racing.
All right. I think Nyquist is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm protecting myself a little bit. I have a trifecta thing going and a superfecta thing going.
Perfecta, superfecta?
Trifecta, superfecta.
Trifecta, superfecta.
Okay, I'm giving Exaggerator a little bit of a shot because I like how he ran in the Derby. I would have preferred to see Exaggerator not run in this race and save for the Belmont, because I think if he had a little bit extra length and the Belmont's longer than the Derby, he could have caught Nyquist in that race. But they decided to bring him back and run here in the Preakness, which is shorter.
Well, history would tell you, Adam, that the runner-up in the Derby rarely is able to capitalize on that close finish in the Preakness. Would you like to take a guess if you go all the way back?
You're saying the runner-up in the Derby almost never wins the Preakness.
Right.
Yeah.
Going back to 1963, how many times do you think the runner-up at the Derby has won the Preakness?
I'm going to say that's the last time it's happened.
It's 3 times.
Okay.
Only 3 times. Now,
Exaggerator's finished second to Nyquist 4 times, I believe.
Right. Since 1963, the Derby winner has won the Preakness how many times out of 50?
Half.
21 times. Okay. Under half.
Pretty close, though.
But there was 3 Derby winners that didn't compete in the Preakness, so that actually kind of is basically half.
Yeah.
Okay? So, have I swayed your... First of all, are you impressed by my horse racing knowledge?
I'm impressed with your reading.
I did do some reading on this.
Okay, and the other horses, I also like a little Cherry Wine. And Stradivari, if that's how you say that.
Stradivari won his last 2 races by 25.5 lengths combined.
And is a closer.
But he's also taking a huge step up in class.
I could see him closing to finish in second. And then I also have the 7 collected, a little bit involved here. So
watching the screen of Nyquist coming out and walking around the track right now, I really don't like how how Nyquist is looking.
Yeah, by the way, if you enjoy our Nyquist segments, that's our good friend John DeCoste. The very funny John DeCoste.
It's or Nyquist. But I didn't
like... It's not really Nyquist on the phone. Just to...
Do you think that there was anybody...
Did you think you were talking to Nyquist?
I sort of thought it was... I mean, I got into the mode.
Wow.
I was in Nyquist mode, that's for sure. But rain was predicted, and the weatherman was very much correct. It is extremely muddy, so that may... Nyquist is not winning this race.
Nyquist ran very well in the slop in the Florida Derby. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes.
Because everybody I've listened to this week has said that Nyquist does not... See, this is my thing. Everyone's like, how is he going to adjust to the slop? Why can't they just have a human rain delay on some track and get him used to it? Like, wouldn't you think that would be part of his training?
What do you mean, human rain delay?
Well, just water the track so it's all muddy and make him...
Sure they do.
But, I mean...
This is why we need Rokan here to tell us these things.
Well,
but Exaggerator ran in the slop in the Santa Anita Derby and killed the competition.
Exaggerator's odds right now are 5-2. So we'll keep you up to date. on the Preakness. They're 5:45 roughly the post time, so in a couple of minutes here. We'll
let you know who wins.
Unfortunately, we'll not have the play-by-play for you, but we could do sort of our own. I got one thing I wanted to mention on the show today about the NBA playoffs, which I know that very few people are watching.
I'm going to go take a nap. You wake me up when you're done.
You stay right there. Do you enjoy watching Golden State play?
Yes.
Okay. Dan Long, do you enjoy watching Golden State play?
I do. Sorry. My cue on.
Okay. That's two people that you both enjoy. But
do you enjoy it?
I do.
Okay.
Do you enjoy watching the NBA playoffs? Right. Do you enjoy watching the NBA playoffs?
The fourth quarters of elimination games.
Exactly.
I'll go non-elimination, but I agree that you could turn on all these games in the fourth quarter and not miss them.
Right. So neither of you really are NBA guys. You don't really care, even though the NBA is amazing. It's the best athletes in the world and all that. That's fine. My point is this. Steph Curry, I'm watching game two, and I enjoy Steph Curry. He's phenomenal. Best shooter in the history of the game. Unique as much as he is skilled and amazing. He shoots a three the other night. Before it's even barely off his fingertips, it's a quarter of the way to the rim. He is turning and taunting the Thunder bench. After all his threes, he's hitting his chest a couple times, pointing up to the sky, chewing on his mouth guard. If LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or a handful of stars in the league that people love to hate did the antics of this guy, they would be getting torched for it. Cocky, arrogant, all that. With Steph, I don't know if it's because he's little or littler. He's not really little. I mean, the guy's over 6 feet tall. But if he's just this smaller, cuter Steph. But it's just amazing to me. And Draymond Green, if you're watching the Warriors, he is in the face of the Thunder, running right up on Steven Adams. And
Draymond's been like that his whole career. He did that in college.
Right, but it's. I mean, that normally would garner a reaction.
Okay,
so you're saying
that... All right, let me tell you what's going on here.
Okay, go. I really don't
think it's too complicated. This happens with every new fascination in any sport, any up-and-coming team. They're like the new fad, and everyone loves watching them. Just like the Royals last year in baseball.
What about the Carolina Panthers? They were a new Super Bowl team. Everybody wanted to hate on Cam Newton. Right?
Yeah, but everyone loved Cam until the press conference.
Right, then he had a press conference where he was just upset.
Yeah, and then everyone loved Cam.
Oof. Heard a lot
The press conference was what got him. Well, I guess you're right. You're right. The people did get on him about the celebrating a little bit.
They didn't like his celebration. They didn't like the fact that he would, you know, walk into the end zone and be all Superman and this whole deal. Hey, with that arrogant, wild, crazy man.
Well, there were some... I mean, there's some racism there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that is applying here. Here's what I think's happening. I think it's this simple. I think it's that the Warriors are still a new enough fascination that they haven't become the hated team yet. This happens with every team. Okay, the up-and-comer, everyone loves them. And then once they win, like, twice... And then this is going to happen with the Cubs. Like, everyone's going to hate the Cubs. Like, right now, everyone's cool with the Cubs. Then if they win the World Series this year, everyone's going to hate them.
Well, there's plenty around baseball that are jumping on. Hey, have they won anything yet? There's some of that going on.
But my point is, you brought up LeBron, you brought up Kobe. I think early on in their career, don't you remember early in LeBron's career? Everyone loved everything LeBron was doing. He was the new fascination. He could have gotten away with any of this stuff. And I realize that Curry's not a rookie. He's been in the league a long time. But the last 2 years are when he's really taken over the league.
Yeah, but I don't remember LeBron ever being beloved kind of like the Warriors are right now, like Steph Curry is. I'm 312-981-7200.
He didn't win champions early.
I'm curious is anybody bothered by the antics of Steph Curry? Or why do you... For just the casual fan out there who maybe is paying somewhat attention and has latched on to Golden State, you know, they also beat the Bulls record, but there's that, which can drum up some dislike when you're going past 72-10, but doesn't seem like people care about that too much. And Bulls championships are in the books, but their record fell this year.
That was really a non-story, wasn't it?
I didn't hear very many people in town.
No one cared.
I was like the only one that cared.
I thought going into the like I remember having debates early in the like on Sports Talk Live in November when they were 19-0, weren't they 19-0 at some point or like
they started I think 23-0.
Right, and I remember like this being, oh, are they going to break the Bulls record? Are they going to break the Bulls record? And then it's like once it got to the time where they actually did it, people were like, eh, who cares.
Yeah, I was heavily rooting against him. But I'll get over it.
Well, if the Grizzlies hadn't blown that one game with, like, was that the third to last game?
Bulls also had some losses down the stretch in 1996 that they shouldn't have had. That team should have won 73 or 74 games. But it didn't happen that way. All right, that's my NBA thought for the day. The love for Golden State and the despisement of Cleveland and LeBron is... I think there's something beneath the surface there going on that you...
Is that a word, despisement?
It is for right now.
It might be. I don't know.
Dan Long, is that a word? D-E-S-P-I-S-E meant?
Can we get
I wouldn't think so. I think hatred would be the word that you're looking for. That would be the synonym for despisement.
Might have to call up Connor.
I think it might be a word.
It's definitely a word. I'm an English...
Despisement, noun.
There it is. Learning something from At the Carm, value on the show.
Contempt, despisal.
There we go. All right, 312-981-7200. When we come back here, we may have the results from Z Preakness on 720 WGN. Not allowed to do play-by-play.
We were just watching the horses get into the gate at the Preakness, and I was commenting that of all the jobs I would not want to have. Be the guy behind the horse that's pushing the horse into the gate.
Every single one of these horses did not want to get in the starting gate. And if you are one of those people that will say that the horse knows what he's doing and that he absolutely knows he's in a race and he wants to win, how come every single one of those horses didn't want to get in there? I think they all thought they were going to be taken out to Canada and sold for meat. Didn't want anything in there.
They didn't want anyone to mess with their pedicures.
Is that what it was, David?
Yeah.
The horses know what they're doing.
Well, why were they fighting?
Because it's cold, it's rainy, it's a miserable day.
This is the second...
They don't want to run today.
They're running for $1.5 million right now.
Yes, of which the horse sees none.
Right, so, they don't care about the money.
So they don't really care,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but they're going to be put out to stud if they take the race. That's not exactly a terrible...
Some of them are going to go out to stud whether they win or not. And you know it, so come on.
By the way, I think...
That's exaggerator.
Who's the number...
There will be...
It's number five. Was that Nyquist?
No.
Exaggerator won, and Nyquist may have finished in second. I think it was a photo for second, but Nyquist will not be a Triple Crown winner this year. Nyquist has lost the Preakness, either finishing in second or third. It was a really close finish for second, and whoever came up on him might have gotten him by a nose.
Exaggerator was... I believe it won. Eddie Olczyk predicted had Exaggerator taken it. And Exaggerator, the unofficial winner, 1:58.3. Exaggerator. Where was my 11, Stradivari? He got bumped at the start. If he hadn't been, he was trying to get in there, something bad happened, and he came up short. Did you win any dough over there?
I can't tell who finished in second. It was really close. The photo goes my way, I may have, but I don't think it did. I think Nyquist may have finished in third. We'll find out. We'll let you know what happens there.
So at the stat that I brought up earlier, only three times since 1963 had the Derby runner-up come back to win the Preakness. Exaggerator in the slop gets it done today.
I told you he had a chance.
I didn't like Nyquist. Like, it was what I was talking about with Nyquist when we had him on the line. He went right to the lead, which was not how he ran the Derby at all.
No, and he kind of got into some traffic. He was okay. I just felt like he was running a little bit too hard out of the gate, trying to get to the front. I don't know that the things broke the way that they were hoping there with Nyquist, but you know he was in position. Probably, though, we talked about the slop. Exaggerator was a horse that had proven he could do it. came around the final turn and basically took off.
Do you think he went to the front because he didn't feel like, who's it, Jockey Mario? I have it written down.
On Exaggerator?
No, on who was riding Nyquist?
Nyquist is Mario Gutierrez.
Gutierrez, correct. Do you think maybe that he went to the front because he didn't want the mud coming up on him? He thought that would be a factor? Does that make sense? Your Nyquist
could be.
Your Nyquist. Ooh, I don't think he. Yeah, I don't think he. I don't think he finished second.
The second horse might have been Stradivari. I can't tell though. I wish they would give the results quicker than they do. It's really annoying when they do this. We got to take a break though. We will let you know the final results out there. It looks. Oh, Cherry Wine came in second.
There's my one. There's my three.
Cherry
there's my
Wine,
five.
Nyquist. Came in third.
I had 11 over 1, 3, 5, and 10.
Yeah.
So what I have won, they're all in there.
I missed my...
Is that a winner if I have 11 over 1, 3, and 5?
No, you needed the 11
to win. I needed 11 to win.
Yeah. Whoa.
Okay.
We're all right here. We'll get you the rest of the results there. We'll also talk some Cubs here. Cubs-Giants coming up in San Francisco. The lineup, very interesting tonight. The news on Jason Hayward was very good. If you missed it, he'll only miss 3 to 5 days. And will not go on the disabled list, but he's not in the lineup tonight. We'll tell you how the Cubs adjusted their lineup with Hayward not in there. This is 720 WGM.
What in the why?
Chicago sports spoken here.
The sports is going on.
This is The Beat.
6 o'clock hour. Welcome in, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hogue. Cubs. About to get underway out on the West Coast with San Francisco. The White Sox fell at home to the Kansas City Royals 2-1. Jason Hayward out 3 to 5 days, so the Cubs dodged a bullet.
Days, not weeks, not months.
The old bullet dodge. Hayward with the contusion, the rib contusion. Cubs have designated Neil Ramirez, reliever Neil Ramirez, for assignment. Matt Caesar is up, so one less pitcher in the bullpen, one position player more. And tonight, Ben Zobrist will start in right field. Javi Nagila Baez. Is at second base. I did not sing that well last week. You did a lot better there. Yeah, Bill and Wendy were talking about it this week.
They were?
Yeah, I did a terrible job.
It was awful.
Yeah. Javi Nagila Baez. Yes, I was driving all week just singing.
That was terrible what you just did right there.
Javi Nagila Baez.
You lost it.
Yeah, I did.
You had it for a second. Now you've completely lost it.
I don't like this music.
Javi Nagila Baez, Nagila Baez.
Second base tonight. So there you go.
See, one take Hogue right there.
That was pretty good. 312-981-7200. How much will you miss Jason Hayward? How much will the Cubs miss Jason Hayward?
They'll be fine. They would have been fine if it was like 5 months.
Do you see how?
Maybe not 5 months.
Do you see how out of the way they've been going to compliment him? He's just incredible in the outfield. He makes play after play. This guy's amazing in the outfield.
Well, he's struggling at the plate.
Right. He's sitting.
So of course they're doing that.
Right. I mean, Joe Maddon called it like one of the best catches he's ever seen.
It was a great catch.
It was a really good catch.
And a really hard, how did he even get there?
I don't know.
It's crazy. I bet you wish he hadn't gotten there. Wait, yeah, first of all, let me give you the lineup and then I want to ask you a question. Okay. Here's the lineup. As Carr mentioned, Zobrist is in right. Javi Baez in second. Okay, but leading off Dexter Fowler in center. Chris Bryant batting second. Third, Anthony Rizzo, batting third, playing first. Why are you looking at me like that?
Who's in center field? Oh, so okay. You got
Dexter Fowler's in center.
Fowler
Chris Bryant's at third.
Right.
Anthony Rizzo's at first. Ben Zobrist is batting fourth. He's in right field. Jorge Soler is batting fifth. He's in left field. Javi Baez playing second base. He's batting sixth. Addison Russell, seventh at short. David Ross, catching, obviously, he's batting eighth, and John Lester bats ninth. Make sense?
I like it.
Cool. So here's my question to you. Now that you know that Jason Hayward won't even miss a week, do you stand by your ridiculous premise that you started the show with, that he should not go after balls like that because the season's too long, you don't want to get hurt?
If you miss the start of the show, shame on you for one. My point is this, that the only thing that can derail the Cubs from getting into the playoffs, I'm not saying win the World Series, but getting into the playoffs, is if their players continue to get hurt. So I want them to play hard, but I also want them to play smart. So I don't want them diving in any walls or doing the Kyle Schwarber collision act or doing the Jason Hayward, your wrist is not 100%, so you're going to fall awkwardly, slide, bruise your rib. You could have broken your collarbone against the wall. I mean, a lot of terrible things could have happened there. The Cubs got lucky. So I want them to play with a controlled aggression of knowing that they are the best team in the National League, and they have built themselves up some cushion. I'm not saying to not run hard to first base. I'm not saying to not run hard in the outfield. But I am saying don't go crashing in any walls or going crashing into each other. Stay healthy. That's the biggest concern.
That's not how championship teams play, Mark Harmon.
Really?
Really. You can't turn it on and off. You either play hard or you don't.
Oh, okay. Let me think about this. Who won the World Series last year?
The Kansas City Royals.
Uh-huh. The Kansas City Royals. That team plays pretty hard.
They play pretty hard.
That's a
pretty fundamentally sound.
That's a bad example. A
lot of singles, a lot of good base running, a lot of first to third.
The
Alex Gordon crashing into walls, diving for balls, taking away doubles. That's how you win championships.
The example that I cited earlier was Ryan Sandberg. Never once dove. Literally never dove. He'd do incredible backhands, leap in the air, and make incredible plays at second base. But you would never see Rhino sliding into first with, you'd always go feet first, never head first, want to protect those hands. And you wouldn't see him, you know, putting his body through the rigors of diving all over the place. Which at the time, when I was young and I wasn't as brilliant as I am now, it bothered me. This dude never dives. But I think he was just preserving himself. It's a long season, man. There's so many plays.
Maybe. I think that's a little extreme. So you're saying he would never dive for ground balls?
Right.
Although, if you think about it, most of the teams that Ryan Sandberg played on were terrible. He didn't play on a team of the caliber of the 2016 Cubs.
That's true. Although
84 came out of nowhere. They weren't supposed to do anything, really.
Right, that was a great team, though.
It was a great team, but, I mean, in hindsight.
I stay healthy.
At second base, which is a position I played for a long time, I don't really see how diving for ground balls is going to take a year off your career.
Do you
you're not running into a wall at second base.
Well, did you
unless you're running after a foul ball.
Do you like the way Dexter Fowler plays the outfield? Because Dexter Fowler, if there is a shot to the gap, Dexter Fowler does not run 100% after it. He goes 75%. He's got it all timed out in his Dexter Fowler.
Wait, but he was the one you were mad at for running into Schwarber.
Well, but my point is that, like, that I don't love. But I'd rather live with that than, you can't, listen, if they have any more serious injuries, like, let's just say for argument's sake that what happened to Hayward last night, he was out for the year.
Yes. That would have been bad.
That would have been horrendous.
I don't think it wouldn't take them out of any kind of contention. I mean, they didn't have him last year, and they made the NLCS.
Well, yeah, but they'll
I don't know if you've noticed the Mets pitching lately.
I have noticed that the Mets are struggling, very much so. But listen, you can't just start taking everybody off the team and think that the big blue train's going to keep rolling.
But look, they made the NLCS last year without Hayward.
They
did have Schwarber, though. And when Schwarber went down, we made the argument, well, they didn't have Zobrist, they didn't have Hayward. So I'm agreeing with you that it would have been a hit. I still think they win the division. I still think they make the playoffs.
312-981-7200, you want to jump in? I don't want to, it's an awkward position. I don't want to get on a guy for playing hard. He's playing hard. That's fantastic.
That's good. What you're doing, though.
But there's got to be a balance. Just please. The only thing I'm worried about right now is the whole team's going to fall apart with injuries. Just stay on the field and give these guys rest. Don't overuse the bullpen. Don't pitch the starters 140 pitches. He hasn't been doing any of that. Pedro Strop's been given a nice little interlude of a break right now. When I watched Jason Hayward last night roll over in agony, that was tough to watch. You can't be having that. We've already seen one Kyle Schwarber, and that play should not have happened.
Get over it. It happened. You're fine.
Get over it.
You're like on a record pace without him. Everything's okay.
I said at the time that they don't need him, but they would survive.
Which is incredible.
They just don't need him.
Could you imagine if Todd Frazier got hurt right now for the White Sox?
They need him.
Like, when he went diving into the stands and all that happened was that his lip got a little bit of a puncture wound and Hawk had to run down and make sure he was okay, that could have been a lot worse. That would have been worse than Hayward getting hurt.
Yes. It the White Sox
that would have taken them out of contention.
The White Sox don't have the same room for error. Even when you can't be there, they are. It's Chicago Tribune Sports Plus with more coverage from more journalists than anywhere else in the city. Join now at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus.
When we come back, Mark Harmon did something this week that hurt my feelings. 720 WGN. All right, so just catching up on some things here. Exaggerator won the Preakness, so Nyquist will not be winning the Triple Crown this year. In a development that only I care about, Nyquist was going to finish second, but right at the last second, Cherry Wine passed him nose to nose, and I was that close to winning the trifecta and superfecta and did not, which I was just saying during the break, maybe if I had won that, that would have solved my problem from earlier in the show where we talked about me moving and hiring movers and not wanting to hire movers. Maybe I would have gone ahead and hired the movers, and then all those people out there that were all upset about the fact that I asked my friends to help me move, they could be happier with their lives now.
Well, you came close.
Which, by the way, I'm just not having a great day now that I sit back and realize it. Not a great day. I think the show is going fine, but my life within the show is not. White Sox lost again, 2-1, left the bases loaded. This all happened while we were on the air, right? I'm just trying to recap. Bases loaded, nobody out. I asked the audience, over, under, they score 1.5 runs in this situation. With Jose Abreu up to bat. He hits into a double play. The White Sox only score 1 run. Okay, so that sucked. They go on to lose.
Yep.
I don't feel any better about the whole moving situation. Maybe I would have had I hit the try in the super here. That just made me feel even worse because not only did I not hit it, but a freaking nose where the horse passed him at the last millisecond.
And you were betting.
Let that be a lesson, kids. Do not bet on horse racing. It ends in so much more pain than happiness.
You ever heard the term, he who gambles lives in shambles?
And I completely subscribe to that.
Even though you just gambled.
Because if you know me, I don't gamble on anything except for the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont.
That's it?
Because I enjoy horse racing.
What about football games? You don't gamble on football?
I don't gamble on sports at all. It's outside of
You're telling me you bet three times a year and it's on three horse races?
Well, if there's any other times in there, it's on horse races.
Okay.
But I'm not like a degenerate at the track all the time.
Not the guy.
But I do enjoy going out to Arlington. I would highly recommend going out to Arlington. It's a great event, great family place. And if you're out there, you're probably going to place a couple bets.
It's just part of the day of entertainment.
Right.
We're not talking degenerate gambler. You're okay. What else is a problem with your day? You're getting to hang out with me for 4 hours. You got Dan Long here. You look good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Don't be angry at him.
I'm not angry. I'm fine.
Now go ahead. Be angry at me.
I'm fine. So let's go back to Wednesday evening.
Let's go back.
My father informed me that we had an extra ticket for Thursday's White Sox game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, who could I invite last second? Let me shoot Carm a text.
It was very nice of you.
See if you have any interest in coming. Your response was very understandable. You were already going to the game. You had a ticket to the game already, and you had made a very nice response. It said, I will stop by at some point in the game and say hello.
Mm-hmm.
Did you stop by and say hello?
I did not.
No, you didn't.
Well, see, this is what happened.
Can't wait to hear this.
Well, first of all, I was out there in a working capacity. I was covering the game for the station. Okay, so I had real duties. I was going into the locker room afterwards.
So you didn't have a ticket. You were just working.
I was doing both. I was going originally.
So you had two tickets and a press pass to this one White Sox game.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. Well.
Well, you had one ticket, a press pass, and another offer for a ticket.
Right. I had, yeah. You. You. Which was you my, offer. You.
My father offered you. I think let's make it clear.
And I love your dad, and I will send him a
person. They're his tickets.
That guilt is real right now. So I feel bad because I love your father, and I feel like I've come shorter. But the reality was that I was there to cover the game, and then a couple of my friends were going out there. They asked if I wanted to sit with them. I said, well, I got to cover the game. Got to go to the locker room afterwards, but I could sit with you guys. Hope that's okay with management. I think we should be fine here. So I go and I'm at the game. I sit with them. And then I know the Houston Astros play-by-play voice, Robert Ford. So I wanted to go and see Robert because, you know, unlike you, I only see Robert once a year when he's in town. And also a former WGN employee, Matt Boltz, engineer for the Houston Astros, so I wanted to stop by the booth and see those guys.
Bob Boltz.
So I started in the press box, then I went and saw my friends. Then,
by the way, I didn't know the former mayor of Toronto was also the voice of the Houston Astros.
That's Rob Ford. This is Robert Ford.
Oh, okay.
At Rayford3 on Twitter. So now I'm in the booth. I'm hanging with Robert and Steve Sparks, their color guy, and Boltz, catching up, watching the game, and now it's the top of the ninth, and you know I wasn't exactly sure because one of my friends might have needed a ride and whatnot, and my cellular doesn't work right, so I had to go. I had two options: to either go back to my friends and make sure that we were situated, or come and see you and your father.
Okay, I want you to just come clean right now.
Okay,
and admit that you never thought about it the entire game.
That's not true. That is not true. 100% thought about it, See, I also thought that I was going to be sitting by you, but I wasn't. You were in 133. They were down in 117. So I had to go 117, 16 sections away from you, upstairs.
16 sections.
Yeah, 16 sections away.
Yeah.
So what I got...
As a former beer vendor that you are...
That's a big hoof.
You can't go 16 sections when you used to do it with a... Well, giant tub of beer around your shoulder.
Again, the way the timing worked out, because the other part was too. One of my friends, there was three of them. One was just absent for the whole, like from the fifth, sixth, and seventh. He just took off, so I couldn't leave this guy sitting there by himself. He needs attention. You were with your father, so I attended to my friend. Then I went and saw Rob, and then by that time, I couldn't get to you and your dad, okay. So I apologize.
I see where we rank on the list.
It's fine. I get it.
I will go back and I will let Richard Hogue know.
Am I a bad guy? 312-981-7200. I apologize. I should have come by. I feel bad about it. That is genuine.
I don't care.
You care a little.
I don't care at all.
I care.
I get enough of you every week.
I care.
I think Richard Hogue was just let down.
Dan, did I do anything wrong?
You know, obviously we're getting your side of the story only, and that's kind of the, like...
Right, we have to believe him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to take you at your word.
Why would you ever not believe me?
Sounded like kind of you would just rather hang out with Boltz and the Astros crew than...
Yeah.
Well, they were only here for a limited period of time. I just, you know, I'm going to be supervising Adam Hogue's move. We're going to get a lot of time to spend.
You know what?
The
only defense I will give you is that was a really fast game.
And it was a fast game.
Because I was home by 10:30, which is incredible. Just so the listeners know, I am 99% right now just messing around and don't really care that Carmen did not come by and say hello.
I should read the text that I got. So, when are we going to talk about the fact that you just blew off me and my father?
I think I said we should leave the show like that.
Yes. So let me put it this way. If the situation ever arises again this season where you and your dad are at U.S. Cellular Field and you invite me, which I can understand if you didn't.
Are you asking for a ticket now?
No, but I am saying that if I'm ever in the park and you guys are there, you are the number one priority, no matter what's happening. If the love of my life, wherever she may be, is going to be hanging out in the right field corner, I'm still hanging out with you.
I don't think you're obligated to do that, by the way.
The people that are texting in that Rob Ford of Toronto passed away of cancer last month, we're aware.
Yeah, thank you. He is no longer with us. We understand.
But Robert Ford of the Houston Astros is alive and well. And he does a great job calling those games.
It was a joke. I did not really think that Rob Ford was the voice of the Astros. Do you have an invincible spirit like Mark Harmon? Join Chicagoland Garden Centers and Proven Winners, the number one plant brand in the fight against breast cancer. Purchase Invincibel Spirit Pink Hydrangea, and a dollar goes to breast cancer research. Unlike finicky French hydrangeas, Invincibel Spirit will give you boatloads of blooms. Even after the coldest Chicago winter, look for Invincibel Spirit and other Proven Winners flowering shrubs in the distinctive white Proven Winners container. This is 720 WGN.
All right, team. We want to give prizes away. We've got a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's.
We also have a pair of tickets to a big soccer match between Bayern Munich and AC Milan.
That'll be at Soldier Field on July the 27th. The world's best soccer is back in Chicago. Thank you. And one of Europe's fiercest rivals, Bayern Munich. Get tickets online at internationalchampions.com. We got a pair for you. 312.
Well, let's explain how this works.
981-7200. Yes.
Because last week you kind of came up with this on the fly. It was very successful. You had a great workout before the show. You wanted to brag about it. And then you opened up the phone lines to see who else out there in the Chicagoland area and worldwide listening online had a great workout today. And then we judged who had the best workout. We gave them prizes.
Right. We're looking for whoever got after it today. 312-981-7200. Who got after it today? We want to hear what you did, and then we'll decide if you're who our winner is for the pizza and for the two tickets. 312-981-7200. It actually, if you buy into who won the workout, it can have a positive effect on your life. Because today at the gym, I was tired. I was in a malaise. I was going over the show. I was building up the rundown, go figure out my notes, the whole thing.
Well, you're tired from moving that couch.
Right.
I'm impressed you went and worked out after you moved the couch.
Well, it was just one couch. I mean,
yeah, all right, you're right. We established earlier that that wasn't really all that impressive.
And it was my brother's birthday last night. We had the family dinner. I had a dessert the size of Montana. I needed to get after it. But I was not having, I'm sitting there in the business center reading, not working out. But I was sitting there like, well, what am I going to say on who won their workout? So it motivated me. I never, ever go into the big room and get on the elliptical or the bikes or whatever. I'm either in a class or playing something. But today, since I procrastinated, there was nothing left. So I just went in, got on the Stairmaster, and climbed 105 flights. Went 105 flights on a 25-minute Stairmaster, and then I went into the old weightlifting area.
125 flights?
105. 105.
That's like the height of the Sears Tower.
That was my mindset. I'm going to climb the Sears Tower. Let's go right now.
And then you came in and said you didn't win your workout.
I feel
like you won.
I don't think I won the workout. I think people can absolutely beat me on that. 312-981-7200. Who got after it today? What did you do? We want our listeners to be as fit as possible. I was going to say as Adam Hogue, but you're not that fit over there, even though you're like skinny but not fit. Is that fair?
Yes, thanks for being honest. I appreciate your honest evaluation.
Well, we gotta have transparency.
It's pretty accurate.
We gotta have transparency on the show. 312-981.
Skinny but not fit.
Skinny but not fit. I mean, you look thin. You're very much, you don't weigh anything, but you could you run a mile right now?
Oh, you were just talking about cardiovascular fitness.
Or
I could run a mile. It would
I don't think
it probably would take me 8 minutes to do it, though.
Okay. 312-981-7200. George, welcome to 720 WGN. What'd you do today, George?
Oh, I got up real early. I swam for about an hour and a half this morning around 7 a.m. and met some buddies at about 9, and we played 5 rounds of disc golf in 3 different cities. I think my Fitbit tracked 70,000 steps, so just under 9 miles.
Whoa.
And, I'm actually going to play my 6th round right now. I'm heading to back to Joliet to another 18.
You went to 5 different cities for disc golf?
Three different cities. One, Shanahan, Joliet, and Lockport. This morning I was in Oswego. So now I'm heading back to Joliet to shoot another round of 18 at Shanahan's disc golf course.
Why not just play the same course, George?
Yeah, you know what? I'm a touring player. I tour and I play, and you got to stay on your toes. You got to play every course and play every hole possible and get every shot in your repertoire. So I need to change it up a bit.
You're a touring disc golf player? That's maybe the coolest caller we've ever had on the show.
Yeah, it's PDGA, Professional Disc Golf Association. There's about almost 100,000 members worldwide, and tournaments on pretty much every weekend in every state.
Do you get paid?
Yeah. If I finish top 40%, which I often do, I get paid. It's not enough to subsidize, you know, my full expenses, but over the weekend, you cash in a pro division, you could bring home anywhere between $2,000 and $5,000.
Wow,
it's awesome.
Good for you, George. And you swam too, huh?
Yep, about an hour and a half.
Okay, hang on, George. 312-981-7200. Don't get intimidated by the disc golf professional of George. I mean, that's phenomenal, and that's incredibly cool, and I am very impressed by George. But you can beat that. We're not, just because he's doing, you know, things for money doesn't mean that George is necessarily our winner. 312-981-7200.
Yeah, still got a couple phone lines open. 630 says, I wasn't tough enough for today's tough mudder in Rockford, but I'll win that workout next year.
All right.
That's the spirit.
Stay positive.
I think this 312, that's a joke about the White Sox, right?
312.
I think it's a joke about drinking during the White Sox game, but I'm not sure how much sense it makes.
Oh, great workout watching Sox. Work chest, stomach, arms. Did 4 12-ounce, 4 8-ounce, and 4 3-ounce curls. Well, hey, listen, drinking during the White Sox game is a recommended.
Then he said he worked the chest, opening and closing the fridge 4 times, and carrying 48 ounces in my stomach.
I don't know if that's going to get it done from the 312, but that's
my style of workout though.
Yeah, we're looking for more than that. 312-981-7200. Appreciate the fact that you enjoyed your Saturday. That's great. Dan Long, what'd you do today?
I did absolutely nothing today.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm pretty good during the week. Weekends, it's just get up, come here, go home, and depending on what time it is, crash or maybe drink a couple beers.
That's what I'm saying.
Doing the old 12-ounce curls.
I told Carm when I get home, I got a nice pitcher, peach bourbon, iced tea ready to go that I made last night, and it's been sitting there.
Do you ever work out?
No. I got too much. You know, I'd like to see how much you worked out. I'm not going to say that because there's probably plenty of people out there with little babies running around that still find time to work out. But it's harder.
Let
me put it that way.
I believe that.
I told you about Arizona, right? When I just randomly woke up 4 days at 5 o'clock in the morning and went and climbed a mountain.
That's amazing.
Like, I don't know where I got that motivation, energy from, but I did it. And I even convinced my wife to do it with me one morning. She did not get all the way to the top, though, but I appreciated the effort.
You got to channel that, man. Whatever it's going to be, when you get out to Vernon Hills.
I don't think they have a mountain there, though.
No, well, there's got to be something. There's got to be a bike trail. 312-981-7200. The 269, 65 miles on my bike in under 4 hours. I don't think that beats George, even though that's pretty good. 65 mile on the bike is an impressive performance. If you're doing it on actual real road, and are you doing bike to drive next Sunday there, Adam?
I don't think so. Why? Am I supposed to?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be there.
I don't have a bike.
You find problems, I'll find you a solution. You need a bike, I'll get you a bike.
Okay. What time is it?
I can have a last-minute friend.
Isn't it like 5 a.m.?
You can be on there as early as 5:30. They don't let anybody on if you don't start before 9:30. We could plan a nice...
Oh, I could do that.
We could plan a nice 8 o'clock start.
I like that.
Patty Vasquez is going to be out there. Craig Collins is going to be out there.
You can find me a bike?
I can try. I absolutely can try. I would love to have you. I'd love to see the effort out of you. Bike the drive.
According to my phone, all I have next Sunday is a radio show at 3 o'clock, and it's John F. Kennedy's birthday.
Okay.
May 29th.
847 backing me, by the way. Mark, you see Adam all the time, and the people you saw at the White Sox game the other day, you don't. So it was okay that you talked to them instead of looking for Adam. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and by the way, we may have accidentally had a microphone on during the following break after that segment, and you may have heard me tell Carmen that
it was okay?
That it was okay.
You weren't really mad?
Was not mad at all.
312 texting in, thank you for not being mad. I thought about mowing the lawn, then realized it was too nice. Beers on the back deck. Calories in are better than calories out today. Not running, not lifting. Apparently, nobody worked out today.
Nobody worked out today.
All right.
George, you're our winner.
George, victory for you, sir. You're the only dedicated soldier to the show.
I'm sorry?
You're the only dedicated one today, George. Everybody else apparently was enjoying the beautiful day.
You know what? As much as I enjoyed being walking these hills, drinking a couple of beers on the past sounds really good. Not going to lie.
Sounds awesome.
But you've earned it. There, you've earned it. Congratulations, George. Talk to Dan Long. George won the workout.
Hey, do you know what next Friday is?
What's next Friday?
That is the WGN Radio Walk of Fame ceremony, and you are invited to join us. This year, we'll recognize 7 honorees in the induction ceremony on Friday, May 27th at 10 a.m. outside the Tribune Tower on Pioneer Court. Bring a chair. Enjoy the celebration commemorating Max Armstrong, Floyd Brown, Jim Carollo, Dan Fabian, Marilyn Miller, Tom Peterson, and Dean Richards. That day, you can also follow our live blog online at WGNRadio.com. Visit WGNRadio.com/Walk of Fame for details.
Mom's workout today went to Ace Hardware. I bought vegetables and tomatoes. I planted 58 bulbs of gladiolus. Not sure.
Yeah,
Is that a flower?
Yeah.
Pulled weeds, went grocery shopping, made fresh bread. It's rising right now.
I've made gladiolus.
I've made dinner, and I'm doing dishes, and I'm going to walk the dogs. 13,500K today. That's an impressive performance.
Pretty good.
Way to go.
269 says, I got hosed. I need those soccer tickets.
Well, you should have called. Should have called in, sir.
312-981-7200. We'll do it again next week. Last week, we had
A
ridiculous number of callers calling in, telling us about their workout. I don't know what happened today. It's nice out. That should motivate you to do more, not less.
Right. We'll be here next week for you. Who won their workout? The only guy won today, George. Congratulations to George. Amy Guth is actually off this evening. Dane Neal is in for her, and we'll get you ready for the rest of your Saturday night next on 720 WGN.
Thanks to Nyquist for joining the program again today.
He was great.
He did tell us right before he got off the phone with us that he was looking ahead to the Belmont. And I think that showed in his performance as he finished third.
It was terrible, terrible preparation by Nyquist today. He was cocky. He was smoking cigarettes.
That's what he said. He said he wasn't even in a stall. He had to go 20 feet away from the stall to smoke his cigarettes.
And then he went out and got his rear end kicked by the great exaggerator. That was our key to the inside of horse racing.
Right there. You heard it here first. It was about 15 minutes before post time. You could have known right then and there that Nyquist wasn't going to win.
I think he was actually surprised at the start of the interview that I was kind of hostile towards him. But I sensed that he was getting cocky.
Also, thanks Nyquist though for joining us. No thanks to the people out there that did not help me with figuring out what to do about moving. I do not feel like I made any progress in
you
that
just
decision.
Didn't, you can't complain about not getting the response that you wanted to get. That's not fair.
No, because I got responses that did support the idea of moving myself. The problem was I felt like it was 50-50.
I thought it was more like 90-10, get movers. That's how I saw it.
Yeah, but the 90% costs a lot more than the 10%.
Of course.
So it evens it back out to 50-50.
Well.
At least in my head and my wallet.
You put it out there and people came at you in an honest way and you didn't like the response. But, hey, end of the day, Adam, I'm here for you. If you need a great supervisor for the move,
I appreciate that.
And somebody that might even step in and, I'll
pick up a box. A
couple boxes here and there.
Maybe push the lawnmower towards the truck.
Push the lawnmower. I'd do that.
You can do that.
You have a fire pit. I'd carry the fire pit.
We have a fire pit.
You taking the basketball hoop with you?
No.
That's a sweet hoop.
That hoop has been there since the 1940s, I was told.
Does the new house have a hoop?
Or no, the hoop is as old as the 1920s, I believe, and was put into the house in the 40s.
Does the new house have a hoop?
No. We're going to have to figure that one out.
somehow, some way.
Well, we'll have to go buy a hoop. See, a new house cost things cost money. You would like to save from not paying for movers that are way too expensive.
And you don't have to have a hoop, by the way.
I don't.
I don't think you ever use it. So don't get a hoop.
Well, actually, here I used to, and then I went and played basketball. I don't know if you noticed that hoop is not regulation height.
Doesn't matter.
It's like 9'1". It's not 10 feet. So when I went and tried to play basketball after shooting out my hoop, everything was short, like really short.
Yeah, but the only thing that matters in life when you get to your athletic level and your age and everything is winning on your own hoop. The regular stuff doesn't matter.
Oh, I can do that.
Yeah. Daniel is in for Amy Guth. We're going to take a quick timeout and then talk to him right next here on 720 WGN.